and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast. This is episode number 80, and we're brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week, as always, with Brother Ryan.
What up, what up?
What's going on, bro?
Strong drink.
Strong drink. Yeah, speaking of drinks, I cannot get off this lakefront. Like, I mean, right now I'm drinking a dark lager made by them, and it is pretty nice.
A dark lager. That sounds intriguing, actually.
Yeah, it's called, like, East Side or something like that. It's actually pretty real rich flavors in it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit, so I'm out of the coffee porter, and I had to try something different, so this will work out.
There you go. No more motor oil.
Oh, man, I wish I had me some motor oil, let me tell you. That shit be banging, homie.
I guess.
So, this week, Grand Prix Boston Worcestershire.
Yeah, busy fucking week.
Oh my God, so much shit. It's like Wizards hates podcasters.
Yep.
They'll give us nothing for weeks, and then they're just like, you podcasters, and they dump everything on us all at once. And it's like, you fuckers got long episodes.
Shitty fucking site to try and navigate here. I can't even find the top eight, so.
Oh yeah, this site is. Yeah,
like, there it is.
Fucking horrendous. It's under where you literally click on top eight coverage.
I got it.
Oh, excuse me. Actually, shit, it's not working. Oh, day two coverage.
Yeah. This is a good top eight here.
Yeah, actually, very much so. I know, Scotty Mack and his crew, they all, like, finished in the money.
Nice.
So, like, that was pretty cool. But our top eight bracket, and this is all modern, which is neither one of our, exactly our fortes. Ryan's learning, and it's a degenerate format. I'm not really a big fan of it.
I love modern. Like, I'm getting into a bull. I mean, me and Megan have been investing in it. It's, you know, obviously very different than both standard and legacy. There's a ton of playable decks. So, I mean, it rewards your knowledge of the format. So learning it is, you know, one of the biggest things. And then, I don't know. The thing I feel it's missing is just a universal counterspell, like Force of Will. Like
fair.
Free universal counterspell. Like that's the only thing I feel the format's missing. A lot of people say it's just like...
I don't even necessarily know that it needs to be free. It just needs to be cheap and good.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, so, it could just literally be counterspell.
Control's pretty good in modern. Like, they don't need that much more help. I mean,
they don't need a free one. I think Force of Will, for as good as it is and as needed as it is in Legacy, and that's mainly because of, like, turn one combos that people can go nuts on, it's not as needed in modern yet. Like, there are no real turn one, go fuck yourself, I just won the game. You didn't even get the draw card type deal going on. So it's not as necessary here as it could be in Legacy. That card keeps all of those decks literally in check. Yeah. Because all of those decks fall on their face after one counter. Because they blow their hand and they just go, Force? Yeah, you're dead. You can't come back now. But yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, a good cheap counter would be good. I would like to see regular counterspell in there. But as we all know, Wizards does not like counterspells. So our top eight bracket, we had Nathan Jones versus Alex Bertoncini, and Bertoncini wins 2-1.
God, you mispronounce that every fucking, it's Bertoncini.
Well,
you're saying it wrong.
Speaking of that, you know what, since you just brought it up, let's just go right into it right now. He apparently, in one of these rounds, on camera, now this is the talk on the interwebs, he cheated, apparently. This is what was said. Now, the judges looked into it, and they almost immediately said that he didn't. Now, there's been talk that the judge who said that he didn't later regretted saying that, but after their initial investigation, they found that there was no malicious wrongdoing.
Well, is it a matter of what you can see on the video or a matter of what was supposedly said that you can't hear? Because that's when a lot of this stuff, like, comes in, like...
Well, it was brought up mainly where it's scattering from the internet's from is from Chris Mascioli. Most people on the podcast scene will know him as DeepleSticks or Die Please Thanks on Twitter.
He's a bit of a douche, right?
A little bit. I don't have a lot of interactions with him, so I don't want to sit here and just say that, you know, the dude's a douchebag or not. But, I mean, I know that he and Alex are not friends. They used to be at one time, they're not anymore, and there's some rumblings that maybe this dude is kind of has a vendetta against them. I don't know. I really don't. And at this point, I'm going to be real honest with you as far as Bertoncini goes. He keeps top aiding. Every tournament, somebody's accusing him of cheating. And yet every tournament, he's found to have done no wrongdoing.
Or, I mean, he's just cheating a bunch of subpar players until he gets to the top eight. I mean, and then when he's on camera, he loses a lot on camera.
He does, but mind you, they usually don't put him on camera until he's at the top eight because they don't have a choice.
Paul Rietzel incident recently involving Bertoncini, like, I feel like he's the kind of guy that it's a part of who he is. It's his character. He'll keep doing it. He's like a fucking Lance Armstrong.
Right.
He's just, just won't stop. I think he's just extremely good at it. Even the whole Rietzel situation, I was explained, it was like, that guy's really he's just good at cheating.
Well, there's two statements that can be made about Alex, for sure. Number one is he is a very good Magic player. Number two is he's a cheater. Now, I mean, whether he still cheats or not, until a judge flat out says that he's cheating again and he's banned, I'm not going to jump into any witch hunt with anybody. Like, you know, I'm going to put my faith into the judges, which I don't expect anybody else to. And to be real honest, I ain't going to lie. If I go to a GP and I sit across from him, I'm going to be on point. Like, if anything looks funny, I'm going, judge. And I'm sure there's a bazillion other players ready to do that too.
Yeah, you got to watch like a hawk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, past history does come in play when you're playing against somebody. But at the moment, I just have to assume that a lot of players are doing that. And if anything even begins to look fishy to them, they're calling the judges over. And then an investigation is launched and they determine whether or not he's guilty. So just, I'm going to leave it up to the judges. I know a lot of people just flat out hate the dude, and that's cool. Everyone's allowed to have their own opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, man. It seems like a lot of.
You're right, though. I mean, we haven't seen, like, there's been no, like, blatant, outright, like, clear evidence. You know, obviously this video you're talking about must not have been very, like, the cheat must not be super obvious if people are.
Well, it's funny, like the thread that it got started on was on, Mascioli's Facebook page.
Okay.
And he wouldn't explain exactly what happened unless you was a friend of his and not a friend of Alex's. Then he would private message you what happened.
Oh, that's so, what is this, middle school?
Yeah, it's like, you know, and his excuse
that's for like some bitch boy did. Don't be a little bitch.
It kind of is.
Say about somebody, say something, you little bitch.
But his excuse for it, which I guess if he was a judge would make sense, but I don't believe he is. Again, I don't know the dude. He might be a judge.
I think Mascioli might be a judge. I'm not 100%.
But he said that there is an active investigation going, so I am not going to comment and begin to sway judges. Which, if that's legitimately why he didn't want to say anything, you know, that's actually an honorable reason.
Do you know what round, what game?
I have no clue, man. I cannot get any details from anybody. Okay. Exactly what happened. And
I'll try to look into it. Maybe I'll have an update on that next week. I'll make a note of that right now.
Yeah, I've talked to multiple people and I just cannot get the story from anybody. And, you know, it just is what it is. So, but Bertoncini moves on. Mark Tobosh, I probably pronounced that wrong. I'm sorry, Mark. Versus Andrew Boswell. Boswell wins 2-1.
Yeah, no surprise.
Nope. Pierre Dagnon versus Robin Dolar. This is a little bit of a surprise. Robin Dolar wins 2-1.
Well, Robin Dolar, this is like, I want to say he's been top eighting Grand Prix recently, top 16ing them at the very least. Yeah, he's had two Grand Prix top eights, both of which have been very recently.
Yeah, but fair. I mean, very fair point, but I mean, Pierre Dagnon, he's kind of known, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's probably the biggest name.
I mean, second at Pro Tour Theros behind his teammate, Jeremy Dazani.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been top 16ing recently.
It might not be a crazy upset, it's still an upset.
Yeah.
And Philip Napoli versus Wesley Havonic, and Napoli wins 2-1. So we have Robin Dolar 2-0 over Napoli. Andrew Boswell, he takes down Alex Bertoncini 2-1. And we have Robin Dolar winning this all 2-1 with his amazing shirt that I just love.
The Godfather shirt.
Yeah, you know. I'm not even a big fan of the movie, but I have respect.
Are you kidding me? That movie is amazing.
As an Italian-American.
The first Godfather's amazing.
Yeah, but as an Italian-American who grew up in a different sort of life, I can tell you that there's a lot of stereotypes in that movie that really irks me.
As far as mob movies go, it's a lot more accurate in their portrayal of Familia.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not. It's a good flick, but it's not accurate.
Well, no, it's more accurate than, say, Goodfellas.
No, Goodfellas is actually more accurate.
I mean, violence, obviously, yes, but I'm not saying, you know, I'm not speaking about Godfather 2 and 3. I'm talking about the first one.
The first one was fairly good. After that, it kind of gets crazy.
Yeah, I have no interest in, I've never seen 2 or 3, so I can't comment on them. I know it probably has to do with, like, Vegas and shit, because I think that's what happened in the books. It's been so long since I've read them, but I think they went to Vegas or some shit. And yeah, that's probably when it does get a little bit, like, laughable is, you know, as far as mob business goes or whatever, but.
Yeah, so Robin Dolar, he wins this with junk.
Yeah, fucking sweet. Yeah,
it's a nice deck. Liliana the Veil and a Garrick Wildspeaker. I like the Wildspeaker in there. I haven't seen a bunch of that in my, you know, in all of the decks we've been covering. I've not seen Wildspeaker pop up in too many decks recently, so that's nice. I mean, untapping two lands is pretty
good. Two lands, play a Tarmogoyf, play an Ooze.
Yeah.
Play Olaf. I mean, play him and then flashback Lingering Souls.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sweet stuff you could do with that, so.
It does a lot of good. Like, most of this deck, you know, falls in the two range.
Yeah, all his creatures could come in off of that.
Yep, which is four Dark Confidant, four Tarmogoyf, three Scavenging is. He has instants that can come in off of it. He can play the two Dismember.
Yeah, I mean, Abrupt Decay, he's got,
four Abrupt Decay, Slaughter Pack, well, that's free, and Putrefy.
Pack on Souls, obviously.
Yeah, you got Lingering Souls, you can flashback. He is carrying four Thoughtseize, three Inquisition of Kozilek, and a Maelstrom Pulse. He has a Stirring Wildwood in his land base. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was sweet for him.
Well, I mean, it has reach, and it's a 3/4, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he used it to great effect on the weekend.
Sweet. I actually did not get to watch a bunch of this, so.
I think it played a part in the finals, so I didn't watch too much of it either, but I did catch a lot of the top eight, so.
Sweet. Sideboard, he has two Graft Digger's Cage, a Timely Reinforcements, a Creeping Corrosion, a Golgari Charm, two Aven Mind Sensors, an Obstinate Baloth, three Fulminator Mage, one Thrun, two Stony Silence, and an Engineered Explosives.
Yeah. I'd like another Thrun in the board here. The explosives is sweet. Timely Reinforcements has been popping up in Modern lately. I don't know.
Is Burn decks on the rise?
I mean, yeah, Burn is.
Well, that's what it would be in there
for. On MTGO, Burn's really big in the Modern scene, but,
Well, that would explain it. If you're getting most of your testing in on MTGO, and you show up to a GP, you're going to have those in there for the, you know, the Burn matchup.
It's just weird. It's just a odd inclusion. Like, I don't know. It's a really good card, though.
It is. It's especially good against, like, Mono Red. That's why. That's the only thing I could think of that it would be in there for. I don't know. He ended up playing.
Is Creeping Corrosion the cheapest you can get mana-wise on for that effect of Destroy All Artifacts?
Off the top of my head, without going into the Gatherer, it's fairly close. What did Tranquility cost? I want to say 5?
I'm looking that up now. Yeah, it just, to me, like, I'm like, that seems awfully expensive for that effect, like. Well, Tranquility's Destroy All Enchantments, and that's 3 mana.
Okay, so yeah, that doesn't even work. I don't know if there is another Destroy All Artifacts.
Yeah, Back to Nature is just, one in a green for an instant speed, Destroy All Enchantments. But yeah, the artifacts, I think, yeah, I don't know, that's just, to me, that's like 4 mana, that's pretty expensive. But it's very powerful, I mean, especially against, if you look at this, the rest of this top 8.
If you're playing against Affinity, though, it's a Wrath of God, and it's almost a one-sided Wrath, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he played against,
I would pay 4 mana for a one-sided Wrath.
Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, I think anybody can pay for it.
There is Affinity. There is, you know, Affinity is in the top 8. I think one or two people were on it. I know Alex was.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fairly popular deck for a while now, so I would expect. I want to say it last year in Australia, it performed really well. Had a first place finish, I want to say.
It's been doing awesome.
Yeah, and it's always seems to have at least one in the top 8. So, no, that seems like a fine sideboard card. He's been up against Andrew Boswell and Jund. These decks are very similar. So what are our differences? Well, Jund has a Batterskull and Olivia Voldaren and different numbers on all the other spells. And he's running Lightning Bolts as well. But like, you know, he's had thought sees Inquisition, one Maelstrom Pulse. Grim Lavamancer is a creature that it can fit. Dude, Olivia Voldaren, wow.
Was so good.
Man, when she was in Standard, wow.
She was really good on camera.
Was she? I've not seen her really play out in Modern very much.
So. Yeah, was really good. Really surprised me because I was like, how do you keep investing mana in her? Like, and she's not getting popped off. Like, if she sticks around, like, yeah, it's a wrap. She's very, very good. So
sweet. In his land base, he has a Raging Ravine. So that's his creature choice. And he also has three Treetop Village. So that's sweet.
I'm a big fan of the, I like Junk. I know Jund, I mean, has its appeal, but I don't know, man.
It does. It's just.
I love Lingering Souls, man. Lingering Souls was an absolute house. So fucking good. So.
That's fair.
Lingering Souls. I like it enough to want to play it over red. So. Fair enough.
So 15 card sideboard of What It Wore Olivia Voldaren. A Sowing Salt.
That's interesting.
That really is. Two Grafdigger's Cage, two Shatterstorm. Destroy all artifacts. What's that costing? Four. So, okay. We're still in the same ballpark there. One Thought Seize, one Thrun, one Magma Spray, three Fulminator Mage, two Ancient Grudge, and one Sword of Light and Shadow.
Yep. Very good. He at one point, he was playing the Blue Moon deck and had a Sword of Light and Shadow on a Thrun for like 10 turns, and the Blue Moon deck just kept staying alive somehow.
Somehow.
Just kept chump blocking for like 20 straight turns. It was an epic match. It was really fucking fun to watch. So
Alex Burt and Chidi was on Robots. There's really nothing new about this deck from all the other robot decks that we've talked about.
He decides to splash, you know, you got that one color that people usually, it's either black or red, or sometimes you see blue. He opted for red.
Blue.
Oh, Disney.
He has Thoughtcast and Galvanic Blast.
Okay, yeah, so he's splashing, you know, he's running the blue too. Yeah, he opted for two Galvanic Blast. You know, sometimes you see a couple Thoughtseize or, you know, like a Counterspell, a Remand, something like that, but,
you can really get away with it with the four Glimmer Voids. It taps for anything, and then you have your, you know, your Mox Opal, so.
Yeah, he is running Thoughtseize on the board, so that's cool, and he's also got two Blood Moons, which is pretty sweet.
Yep, and the Whip Flare is nice as well. Only two damage to every dot artifact. So that's Bertoncini. Napoli. I hate going through this site. I'm just going to say that again.
Yeah, it's awful. Napoli.
Napoli was on Infect.
Yep. There's a couple people
who are
on
Defiance.
Yep.
That's different. That's interesting. Whenever a creature you control becomes a target of an instant or a sorcery spell, that creature gets +3/+3. That's ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, that is ugly.
It's a pretty good fucking one of. I think it was the round, cause wasn't Avacyn, didn't Avacyn catch the tail end of Infect and Standard? Cause Mirrodin was still legal, I think.
I think? Season card.
Cause I've met Wild Defiance seeing play before, and I'm pretty sure it was in that deck, so.
But, he has four Noble Hierarchs and a Birds of Paradise. Which is somewhat different for this deck, but you know, it gives him some mana.
Yeah, and Exalted is no joke.
No, not a joke when you have Blighted Agents.
So, I mean, very, very good.
And that basically says +2/+2 for the most part, because you know, when they deal damage. That's Napoli's. His spells are pretty much what you'd expect. Three Might of Old Courage, four Ground Swells, four Mutagenic Growth, four Vines of the Vastwood, an Apostle's Blessing. Three Gitax Probe, three Distortion Strike. I like the Distortion Strike. +1/+0 and unblockable.
Huh.
It has rebound, so it comes back the next turn. I do like that with, you know, things like Viridian Corruptor and Glistener Elf. It's not real effective with your Blighted Agent, but again, the +1/+0 is no joke, so.
Yeah, pretty good.
Sideboard, two more Wild Defiance, three Dispel, four Nature's Claim, two Twisted Image, two Hunt the Hunter, and two Spellskite. God, I love Nature's Claim. It's so good when you don't care about life.
Yeah, that is pretty fucking sweet.
It's just so good. Nathan Jones, he was on Robots. His was the Master of Ethereum version. I do like the Insult artifact in there. That's kind of mean.
Yeah, is that necessary, though? I think that's just cute.
Well, if you can, it's basically putting Tezzeret's ability on these creatures.
Really? I mean, does Insole Artifact, I mean, you have like, I mean, your big hitters are already like Cranial Plating and like the Ravager and the Champion. Like,
You a little bit extra reach. I can see like a turn one Ornithopter or a Memnite with a Signal Pest and then you Insole Artifact the Ornithopter and just go over the air. You know what I mean? It gives you a little bit extra reach, and then you can always, you know, activate a Blink Moth Nexus or Ink Moth Nexus and put this on it and then smack it for 5 infect.
Yeah, I was going to say that is true. You can always put it on one of those lands.
Yeah, especially the infect one because you only got to, you know, pull it off twice.
Yeah.
Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. So sideboard, Etch Champion, 2 Ancient Grudge, a Torpor Orb,
ooh,
a Dismember, a Master of Aetherium, 2 Wear and Tear, Grafdigger's Cage, Whip Flare, Relic of Progenitus, Spellskite, Thoughtseize. His creature package was Ornithopter, Memnite, Vault Scourge, Signal Pest, Arc Ground Ravenger, Steel Overseer, Etch Champion, Master of Aetherium. Everything else is exactly what you think.
Yep. So,
yeah, that would be.
Panic Blast, very good.
Yeah. So, Tobosh. Yeah, this is nice. Tobosh. See, I see some blue.
Yeah, this is.
I see some red.
This is the Blue Moon deck, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, 3 Blood Moon. Yeah, this is Blue Moon. Yeah. 4 Snapcasters, 3 Vidillion Click, 4 Serum Visions, 3 Shackles, 1 Batterskull, 3 Blood Moon, 4 Bolt, 1 Repeal, 4 Cryptic Command, 1 Think Twice, 2 Electrolyze, 3 Spell Snare, 3 Remand, 2 Mana Leak. Lands are nothing special.
Oh, I fell asleep for a second there. Fuck. This deck is so boring.
This deck is amazing, man.
This deck is so boring.
It might be, like, horrible to watch, but fuck. I bet it's a blast to play.
Fuck this deck.
Just, you get to drop that Blood Moon
so
and just
beat
it so is, many people.
It's really fucking, it does look sweet. I'm a big fan of the sideboard, that's all I'll say. Like, I think this is one of the better sideboards.
It's a little different. A Batterskull, a Dispel, a Spellskite, 2 Vandal Blast, 2 Anger of the Gods, a Magma Spray, 1 Shadow of Doubt, 1 Karanos, God of Storms, 1 Engineered Explosives, 2 Combust, 1 Relic of Progenitus, and a Negate.
Yep.
So why is that so interesting to you?
I just think very well rounded and has answers to everything.
And there's a god in there.
Well, the Kratos has been popping up in Modern. He's pretty sweet, but like I love Combust. I've always been a huge fan of that card. So anytime I see that in the sideboard, I'm like fucking excited about it. Relic of Progenitus is really it's a great card. Obviously, I wouldn't call it underrated, but I don't think it's played enough. It's really sick. It did a lot of sweet work on the weekend. I'm a huge fan of Anger of the Gods in Modern right now. It's just extremely good. It might be one of the better sweepers in it. If not, it just destroys everything practically.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty much everything but Goyfs.
Yeah, basically. And it's the exile on him that's so huge. I mean,
right.
that makes it a blowout. I'm a fan of, Shadow of Doubt, obviously, like, that's the fucking, yeah, I know you're a huge fan of that card and.
Love that card.
Yeah, and you've said it's underplayed and I agree with you, like, anytime I see that, it's fucking sweet.
It's so legacy playable. Why isn't it, you know, like, I think it fits Modern just because, Modern's trying to do a lot of the same things Legacy does. As much as people hate to admit that, it's the truth. Right. And Shadow of Doubt's just good.
It's really good. I like Spellskite in the board. I think that's where it belongs. A lot of people are trying to mainboard Spellskite. I'm just... heard arguments for both...
Well, you're almost sure your opponent's going to have some sort of good targeted removal. So I can see the justification for it, but if it's only going to be a couple forms of removal, why would you want that main board? You're going to end up pulling it out. I'd probably want something more relevant game one. And then if I need it, go to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just me. Pierre Dayan.
Pierre.
He's running him some junk.
Yep.
And his list is not very different than the junk list we talked about earlier. However, his sideboard is a little bit different.
Did the last guy run a Dark Blast? I don't know.
I don't think he did, actually.
That's pretty
I didn't even notice that Dark Blast in here.
That's pretty sweet. And we got Garrick again.
Yeah, Wild Speaker's in here again, so.
Card's really good.
It's so good. I remember when that first came out and I got to play with it at a pre-release.
This deck needs Pack Rat.
No.
It does. We'll talk about Pack Rat later when we go over Modern at SCG. KC, I think.
So. Okay. Oh, great. More pack rat. Sideboard, one scavenging ooze, three Aven mind sensors, a creeping corrosion, two engineered explosives, a seal of primordium, two stony silence, a hushwing.
Seal of primordium. What is that there? Okay.
You put it in a play. It you can just sack it whenever you want to destroy an artifact or
a chip. Why wouldn't you just run naturalized? Isn't that instant speed does the same thing, same price?
Yeah.
That's weird. Why would you run this over? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Someone that's better in modern, please explain that to us. Why there's a seal of primordium and not any other, like disenchant effect, I guess.
Yeah.
That one's weird.
So we got the Hushwing Griff. So there's another M15 card, another lingering souls, a fulminator mage, a choke, and a graph digger's cage.
I love choke. I fucking love choke. I wish more people played choke. That card is so awesome. Graph digger's cage. Yeah. Very good. Hushwing Griff. I don't know, maybe one or two that's really good in this deck. I think it's really good in modern. I think that's where it's probably going to shine the most. So.
Right. So Hovedic, he was on the infect list as well. No, wait, yeah, he was. He was on the infect list, but he was running the Rancors to go with his, spell package instead of the other enchantment.
Yeah.
I can see it. Sideboard of three Inquisition, three Spellskite, two Dismember, four Viridian Corruptor. So he had those in the side.
That is a great fucking call. That's really fucking good.
You know, the other guy had a main board. Seeing these in the side, I don't know. It puts Plague Stinger out earlier. I don't know. And three Abrupt Decay.
I like it in the board.
Yeah. So that was our modern results. I got an email.
What deck we didn't go over, Angelo?
No, I went over them all.
No. There's a certain deck archetype that's missing from that top eight everyone bitches about.
No pod.
That's amazing. There wasn't a birthing pod, not a single birthing pod in that top eight. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
That card is so fucking, it's so degenerate. Oh my god.
It very much is.
Must be banned.
Thank you. You're finally beginning to understand this.
I am. I mean, clearly from the results of this top eight, I mean, pod is just a fucking menace.
So let me move to the top five cards. Number five, birthing pod. I can repeat that. Number five, birthing pod.
I think 9th, 10th, and 11th place were all pod decks.
Okay. Four Blighted Agent, three Cradial Plating, two Thrud, one Lingering Souls. I received an email this week, Ryan, and.
Those are not good.
Well, the sometimes are good, sometimes are bad, and I kind of got called out. But this was from George Wells. Thank you for the email. I appreciate it. And this is what he had to say, and this is pertinent to modern. Great cast, listen to it every week. But your talk about modern this week had some very flawed statements in it. I feel most modern specialists, I am not one of these, I'm just going to say that, would agree with the fact that Jund is not the favored deck Green Black Rock always is. Lightning Bolt is far better than Path to Exile, okay? I would like someone to really explain why that is so much better. A Murmuring Boss doesn't belong in the Forest or Fourth Tectonic Edges slot. Reclamation Sage is better than Harmonic Sliver, not Quasi Pride Mage. Okay. The Murmuring Boss, after, you know, saying that over the radio and then getting this email, I looked at it and my memory of that card was slightly flawed. And I will admit this. See, the thing is, I always ran that card with Doran, and I forgot the whole you must reveal a tree folk for it to come into play untapped part. Because I always ran it with Doran and it never was an issue. So yeah, clearly Murmuring Boss does not belong in that deck. You're absolutely right, Mr. Wells. And, I'm sorry for my horrible, call on that. And I was pretty adamant about the, Path to Exile being better than Lightning Bolt. I'm going to have to talk to Kelso and find out, you know, why that is. Cause he's a lot more of a modern expert than I am. This is not exactly my home. I do understand what he's saying about Reclamation Sage being better than Harmonic Slivers and Pod, though. Not necessarily the Pride Mage. You still there, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's right. I mean, that will definitely... Reclamation Sage has already replaced Harmonic Sliver and Pod.
Yeah. He also finishes this off by saying, these may be just unreasonable thoughts, but you guys do have a great cast. Very relaxing. The chemistry between you two is always fun to listen to. Well, sir, I'm glad you have fun listening to it, and I hope you got the laugh at our stupidity. But realistically, I mean, Ryan's still learning this format, and I don't play this format. Like, everything I go off of with this format, to be realistic, is, like, I just have studied it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, and again, a lot of saying one card is better than another is, that's so subjective. I mean, that really depends. Sure, Lightning Bolt in a vacuum is probably better than Path to Exile, but not in every deck.
Yeah. Not in decks that, you know, like the ones we were talking about last week, where you use using things to basically use like Crucible of Worlds.
It becomes the path becomes a waste, you know, help becomes like
for one destroy target creature, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the deck. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's subjective. I mean, if the three to the face in Modern, where so many people are using fetch lands to get shock lands and they start their game at 17 life, I mean, I suppose that's very relevant.
Oh, yeah, that's super fucking relevant. Yeah, of course.
I mean, so I can see where that, if that's the argument.
It's a better card. I would say that Lightning Bolt is far better than Path to Exile just as a card, but I wouldn't say it's like...
See, I don't know that as a card it is. I think in the vacuum of Modern it might be.
Sure, okay.
But I don't think that just in general when you say, you know, three damage for, you know, one red mana or destroy said creature for one mana, but they get a land, I don't know that that's necessarily better. Because, yeah. Like, I still say Swords is better than Lightning Bolt. And I think a lot of people would agree with me there, those who play Legacy, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, but thank you for the email. By all means, if we continue to screw Modern up, because now I have to cover it every week, continue to call me out on it. Because if I do screw up, I want to know come next week.
Or offer to come on and talk Modern with us.
Yeah.
You know. Or, you know, like, you got shit to say, you know.
Educate us.
Like I said, I'm learning like Angelo said, I'm learning the format. It's a tough format to learn. There's, I mean, arguably over 30 playable decks. I see different stuff all the time. Like, I'm just trying to do my best to absorb as much as I can from what I experience in real life and then, you know, apply it to this cast. Hopefully, you know, over time and playing it more, you know, our talk on Modern will become more, you know, we're not here to say, no one's made the claim that if you listen to us talk about Modern, you'll become a better player or anything. So, you know, we're not trying to make that claim or do anything like that. We're not here trying to teach you how to play or, you know, anything like that. There's other podcasts for that. Go listen to, you know, what is it, Constructive Criticism or whatever.
Yeah, that'll make you better.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, but I mean, those are just my thought, you know.
Yeah, we're here to bring results and give our intake on it. And
yeah, and I only know what I know of Modern from what I see at my local shop on Friday nights on the, you know, every other week or every few weeks that I decide to take the Death and Taxes list. And I see different decks every time, so it's like, you know, it's hard to say what's a better deck against what. I mean, I'm not playing a bunch of different decks and whatnot, so.
We'll say this. We will get better at it. Now that I have to cover it every week, I will get better at it because I'll get a better feel for what it's, you know, I still am stuck in the whole point of looking at Modern through a Legacy lens because it's an eternal format. And
I mean, I'm a pretty good judge of the meta and kind of understand it and from the results. But yeah, I mean, you're right on. We're going to get, you know, just from, you know, covering it more. So
we will get better. I'm sorry if, you know, we did not live up to your expectations this time. We will try harder too next time. And thank you again for the email. So, Kansas City, bro.
Yeah, Kansas City barbecue, right?
Hell yeah. That's all I could think of is, you know, these motherfuckers were like dropping just to go get ribs.
I would.
Dude, so would I. I had ribs tonight, actually. So, they had some standard going on over in KC with the SCG people.
I won't ruin it for you. No spoiler yet, but something you've been rooting for. You were rooting for it the other week. It came.
The one thing I do want to point out, and I'm going to start this bracket at the bottom, because we had Will Erker versus Feli Longmore.
Yeah.
This is not Legacy.
No.
She's not playing High Tide.
She's settled in on a deck. I mean, they've been showing her lately in standards. She's been having some success, hasn't cracked through the top eight. She was playing Burn a few weeks ago, and then I don't know what she was playing like the week before, a couple weeks ago, and then she's on, I mean, I guess she's settled on Mono Black and really likes it, so got her.
That's cool. I mean, this is a Legacy specialist who is obviously Actually, this is a High Tide specialist. I hate to even say Legacy. Like, she is one of the top High Tide.
Oh, yeah. After one of her matches on camera in Standard, she stuck a High Tide card up to the camera.
Yeah. I mean, she's a High Tide specialist.
Yeah. And I thought that was
done very well with that. And to see her actually decide, look, I'm going to center in on Standard. It's just proving that she's just not a High Tide specialist. You know what I mean? Like, she's got herself to that top eight where clearly now, like, she's just a legit player.
They've been talking about her as she's got a good chance at getting one of the at-large invites for the Players' Championship.
I hope she gets it.
And that's what the announcers were saying, that SCG has wanted to see her kind of step up her Standard game before considering her for the invite. And then the last few weeks, she has certainly been stepping up her Standard game. So she's probably going to be one of those that gets the, at-large bid.
That's cool. I hope she gets it. Yeah. I want to see her wreck people's face with High Tide.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching her.
She's like one of the few people that should be allowed anywhere near the deck.
Yeah, so fast with it, does not make it painful to watch.
She's very fun to watch playing it. She doesn't take like fucking 35 minutes to go off or anything like that. She's so proficient.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do nothing but agree with you, bro. I mean, this is cool. Unfortunately, she loses to Will Archer 2-0.
Yeah.
But, you know, we gave her moment in the sun.
Will Archer.
Yeah, Dustin Brorod versus Barry Smith, and Barry Smith wins 2-1. That is about the easiest name I have said in months.
Barry Smith. That sounds like a nice guy. He's from, like, Middle America.
Yeah, you know, Scott Lipp versus Matt Turney, and Lipp wins 2-0. Yeah. Nick Marriott versus Sean Wei?
Sean Wyhe, I think is how it's
pronounced. Okay. It's Weihe.
Yeah, I think it's Wyhe.
All right, so Nick Marionette wins 2-0. So Scott Lipp beats Marriott, 2-1. And then Barry Smith beats Erker 2-1, so that leaves Scott Lipp versus Barry Smith, and Scott Lipp takes this some bitch down.
Yeah, and what were they on, you ask? What was this major shakeup in top eight? What kind of unique stuff?
Yeah, I am asking, what was they on, Ryan? What was Scott Lipp running?
Scott Lipp took it down with the deck you've been cheering for in Green White Aggro.
I was cheering for it last week just because there's all that mono black in it. This is more your deck than mine, bro.
It is, but he came through for us. 24 creatures, 4 experiments, 4 fleece mains, 3 smiters, 3 soldiers, 3 sunblade elves, which I'm not that sold on. I think 3 is maybe 1 too many. 4 soldiers of the Pantheon is really, really good, especially in a world of Night Vale Spectre. Just saying. 4 Voice of Resurgence and 3 Boonsader. 2 Ajani Caller of the Pride, cause that's right, that's the Ajani for this deck. 10 spells, 3 Banishing Light, 4 Advent of the Worm, 3 Selesnya Charm. He won, so I can't say he's wrong, but I think he's wrong. I think that's 1 Banishing Light too many and 1 Selesnya Charm too few. Lands of Note, 4 Mana Confluence. Sideboard is 4 Skylashers, because it's really fucking good against Mono Blue. 1 more Banishing Light, 1 Deicide, 3 Gods Willing, 2 Setessan Tactics, 2 Ajani Steadfast, 2 Humpty Hunter. I like Gods Willing.
Did you just say Humpty Hunter?
Humpty Hunter, yeah.
Sounded like you was about to kick into a dance. Nah. Is this your chance to do the hump?
God's Willing, that's an interesting choice over Ajani's Presence. I'm a fan of Ajani's Presence over God's Willing. Just saying, I like the sure scry is really good, but the fact that he is basically just conceding to Supreme Verdict. He has no answers to it whatsoever. I like Ajani's Presence because it's got Strive and it makes your guy indestructible, which might as well be the same thing as God's Willing. Giving your dude protection from a color 9 times out of 10 is saying no to Doomblade anyways. So it's the same thing as making your guy indestructible. And just the Strive on that. I don't know. Supreme Verdict, I've been blown up by it so many times playing this deck. I just don't see how you get away with not running, you know, at least 1, you know, answer to it, be it Rootborn Defenses, Ajani's Presence, something. It worked for him, I guess, but yeah, you know, just my thoughts on it, so.
So, but the second place deck is the one that I need to talk about, bro.
That is the sweet, man.
Jund Midrange. 4 Silver and Caryatid, 4 Courser of Crucifix. Now, what have I been saying that if you have 4 Silver and Caryatids, 4 Courser of Crucifix, can you get out really early?
Well, you did. I'll put my foot in Garrick. I didn't think this card would see standard play, certainly not this soon, but yeah, 2 Garrick, fucking A.
The card is fucking powerful. So he has 2 Garrick in there, 2 Chandra Pyromaster, 1 Liliana Vest, 2 Vraska the Unseen, and 3 Xenaghost the Reveler. Yeah, I said 10 different planeswalkers there.
Really good. This deck was fucking awesome to watch. A lot of fun. I think had he not had mana problems in the finals, he might have very easily won it. I just don't think he was able to keep up with his aggro opponent. But yeah, this deck was totally cool. Yeah, really, really fucking sweet. Golgari Charm is awesome. Love it here.
Yeah, I really enjoy this. 3 Abrupt Decay, 2 Golgari Charm, 3 Heroes Downfall, Putrefy, Dreadbore, 3 Mizzium Mortars, 2 Rakdos Return, 3 Reed Debodes. Now, I have been building, something similar in my head. Again, you know, I'm kind of waiting until the rotation before I really get into standard. Right now, I'm building up my card pool on MTGO. But this is kind of where I was leaning towards. Like, I picked up all my Heroes Downfalls. I do have Thoughtseize in mine. I don't know if that's right. He has him in his sideboard. I'm liking where this is going. I'm seeing that what I thought was not insane. That's realistically what I was getting at. Sideboard, 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 2 Devour Flesh, 1 Golgari Charm, 1 Putrefy, 1 Rakdos Return, 2 Slaughter Gains, and again, 4 Thoughtseize. He does have an Urborg in his land base. And you know what? I'm fine with that with 3 colors. He has 4 Lawn of War Wastes. I'm sorry. I'm still used to saying elves. Yeah, I like this deck. I like seeing Garrick in second.
It was fun, man. If you really like this deck, I recommend you go back and watch coverage, because not just in the top 8, throughout the Swiss, he was on camera, and the deck was very impressive. Yeah, just to say the least, man, this deck was very impressive. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, Garrick do good? Tell me Garrick did good.
Garrick was pretty fucking nasty. And
he stuck a Garrick, he won, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what Garrick does.
basically. I'm trying to recall, I did make an appearance a few times on camera. I want to say he blew up a planeswalker. Card's nuts. Hey man, 7 mana. I didn't think it would make much of a showing, but yeah, you're absolutely right. When it comes down, it's just a house.
All the logic I threw at you and you just didn't want to listen to.
He had the guy not top deck the Heroes Downfall, Garrick would have got real ugly.
Yeah, I can see that. I know you enjoy this deck that's in third.
I think this is I think this was an awesome meta call for this week. Nick Marriott, black, white, mid range. We saw mono black all over last week. I think this is the best answer to it. I think it trumps it every time. It's why I splashed added white. I think it's better than the green splash. I know there's people out there there's people out there that say the splash is ridiculous and not needed, but I'm telling you, man, fucking Elspeth is awesome. I will disagree with this creature package. 3 Blood Baron of Ascopa, 3 Desecrations, 3 Lightbanes, 4 Pack Rat, 2 Obsidian. With Urborg, those Lightbanes should be Night Veil Spectres, and 4 Desecration Demons, not 3. 3 Blood Barons is just too many. We've heard Ben Friedman say lately, a well-known respected player, that Blood Barons just, he really is overrated, guys. He's not that good.
He's good against Mono Black.
He is, but I've cut him entirely from the main deck and put him in the sideboard, and I'm happy with him there. For me, he's fine coming in. He's very hard, with Pelucra, in the world of Pelucranos, and Mono Green Devotion, which is a deck that was everywhere this weekend, and Storm Breath Dragons, and I don't know, just Blood Baron's not that great right now.
No, I'll agree with you with that. I mean, he's good against Mono Black. So if you're in a field with a bunch of Mono Black, yeah, Blood Baron's great, but realistically, he should probably be in the side.
And even against Mono Black, he's very hard to stick because, especially, well, that depends. If your mono black opponent's heavy on the Devour Flesh plan.
Yeah, it's not as good.
Yeah, and also, Thoughtseize and Life, if they have Lightbane Zombie, if they bring that in, like, he's just very hard to land. I don't know. And Devour Flesh is just very good. Just, you can't rely on him. I do like his two Obsidots, four Packrats, of course, is right. Two Elspeth, one Banishing Light, three Underworlds, two Bioblights, three Devour, three Heroes, two Ultimate Price, and four Thoughtseize. Lands of Note, four Mutavolt, four Caves of Koilos, one Urborg. I like the Caves, man.
Yep.
I think that's what this deck really, really needed. Just make it even more competitive. His sideboard is, a second Vanishing Light, a fourth Underworld Connections, two Nyx Fleece Ram, a Deicide, one Doomblade, two Erebos, one Liliana, two Drown in Sorrow, and four Duress. Drown in Sorrow is just, that card was so good this weekend. really, really good. Yeah, especially a lot of people were trying that, mono green devotion deck, and, Drown in Sorrow, just get rid of all your Hornets, everything, like, it's just really good. Really good against mono blue devotion, of course, obviously as well, but yeah, I would like to see a second Vanishing Light main board. Man, I don't know. Some people don't run Underworld Connections in this deck. They run, have switched to Sign and Blood and or Read the Bones, but, I don't know. I guess the argument for that is, you know, it's not that. I mean, it's your a matter of opinion, I guess. So I run, Read the Bones myself, but that's just me. Two Erebos. I don't know. I don't think you need two anymore, especially with Liliana in the vet, in the format. I was going to ask you how you felt about that.
I really haven't seen exactly how Liliana shapes things up. It's just, I've played with Liliana in the past, and while she's not bad, she's not good either.
See, I've never played with her, and
she's just a solid card.
She seems insane to me. Like, her-
Why?
Well, I love her minus two. That just seems fucking bonkers. Maybe because I've never had a tutor effect, like, really, like-
The thing is, with the tutor effect, you can just play Demonic Tutor. Or not Demonic, but Diabolic Tutor in most formats, and it only costs four. And typically when you tutor with, Liliana, she dies that turn.
You get to use her twice though, if you're lucky, like.
If you're lucky. And yeah, if you do get to use her twice, very good. Very, very good.
Her plus one against control, especially late game, just seems really backbreaking. Like, I don't know. I think right now in this particular environment, I don't know about the past environment when she was played, but I think right now she's really good. I think it's fine to split with Erebos, and Nyx Fleece Ram is a good card, but I'd much rather see Sin Collector. Just Sin Collector is really fucking good in this deck. It's almost like, to me, it's like a must have in the board, but.
It's a concession to the boss Sly deck. Like, just throw a couple of them in, and, you know, if you do run up against it, then you're good.
And on top of that, Mono Blue has been wrecking house, and we are at the start of a new format, and Mono Red does have a tendency to pop up at this time. So you have to be prepped for it right now. So I'm sorry I've talked too much about this deck, but yeah.
No, it's fine. In fourth place, we had Mono Blue, and normally I would skip completely over this, but he has a military intelligence in this deck, and I like that.
I
think it's very good for this deck, because you're with like your Master Wave, you're plopping out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're always going to be swinging with multiple creatures when you swing. He's running two Domestications so he can steal an opponent's creature.
Do you think, though, that military intelligence, see, I would much rather have a Biden of Asa on the board if I'm...
Well, he has a Biden. But yeah. You got to keep in mind, Biden is legendary, so you can't have two of them, but you can have a Biden and you can have a military intelligence.
Sure. I didn't even think about that. That may be why the split. I mean, people have been running two Bidens, and now we're seeing one and one, so that makes sense.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. I like it only because of that. I mean, like you said, most situations, a Biden's probably better, but if you already have a Biden down, the last thing you want to draw is another Biden.
Yeah, nothing else is new here.
Nope.
He isn't running. A lot of people have been running a one of Polymorphous Jest in the board. He isn't. I think that Mono Blue wants that card. The card is nuts. Megan's been testing a one of in the board. It is no joke.
Instant speed.
I mean, especially against the resurging, green based creature decks we're seeing. Card is insane. And two Jace Memory Adept over Architect of Thought. You could argue either way on those. I know here Megan has been testing, Memory Adept, and it's pretty fucking nutty. Memory Adept is pretty fucking good.
I think the games where you want a Jace with the blue deck, because this is more of like an aggro-y deck. I don't know that Memory Adept is what you want in this.
Sure. And that's what, and see, I myself would run Architect a thought just because I love the card draw.
That's what I mean. I don't think you want Architect. I think you want Memory Adept over it because the Architect, you know, giving something -1/-0 when they attack just keeps them on defense.
Yeah, yeah, but the card draw, the -2.
No, card draw is good. Card draw is good. Absolutely.
Megan has switched to the Memory Adept, and I've been milled by him twice now in the last few days.
If you stick that card against control,
that's what I'm playing.
It's GG.
Yeah, and I'm playing Band Control, and it's really fucking good, especially when you're playing a good player that waits for you to waste your detention spheres and whatnot. And then...
Yeah, and like Monty Python said, now time for something completely different. White Red Aggro, and this is something completely different. We have 4 Boros Elite, 4 Daring Skyjack, 4 Dryad Militant, 2 Imposing Sovereign, 2 Judges Familiar, 2 Precinct Captain, 4 Soldier to Pantheon, 2 Bermaz King of Oreskes. This doesn't sound too different so far. Ha! Shut up, listen. 2 Ajani Steadfast.
Yeah, don't like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something different. 3 Boros Charm, 3 Raise Brave the Elements, 4 Raise the Alarm, a Hall of Triumph, and a Spear of Helioid. This sideboard is insane, though.
Two Spear of Helioid.
Yes, 2 Spear of Helioid. This sideboard is nuts. 2 Phyrexian Revoker, 2 Fiendslayer Paladin, 3 Keening Apparition, a Boros Charm, 2 Celestial Fair, 2 Last Breath, 1 Gideon Champion of Justice, and 2 Mizzium Mortars.
Shout out Christopher fucking Lancey. He has been all over Gideon on the posse page. I'm gonna fucking, I'll wash his balls right now. People are like, what? And he has been swearing by this card. This is really good. I think he's running some kind of mono white. Christopher, correct me if I'm wrong, post on it. He's running some kind of mono white build or whatever. He was running like 1 or 2 of these main and it's just said it's been bonkers. Like I can't see it myself, but
I've played with it. And this is really a mono white deck splashing Boros Charm. Don't kid yourself. Yeah. But, I mean, he has some other things in the sideboard, but realistically, that's what this is. I've played with Gideon actually at GPs and it was unlimited. And while it was good, I just never could see how it would transfer over to standard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen enough heavy, like, especially, I keep bringing up Mono Green Devotion tonight. I don't know what the fuck it is. I got green on my mind. This guy can ultimate after like 2 turns. I mean, you could +1 him and he's easily got over 15 loyalty.
I can see the 0 ability being very good against control.
That too. I mean, exactly that. I think when you bring it in is obviously against control. His 0 is very good.
I think he's dead against mono black most times.
Yeah.
It'll
be a terrible feeling if this is all you have, you activate it and they devour flesh you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just trying to keep up with the umpteenth pack rats with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to win that fight.
I mean, it's a solid, Christopher, explain your reasoning for this. Let us know. Correct us. Tell us why it's good. I know you got a lot of people excited about it. It seemed on the page. So,
yep. Jund Monsters in 6th. This is unfortunately nothing new. Like nothing new at all.
Yeah, it's the same old Jund Monsters. Ooh, Nylea's Disciple on the board. That's new.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
I think, Slaughter Games. I think that's new. I don't think we've seen the one of Slaughter Games hanging out.
Yeah. Again, I'm not dignifying that with a response. So, in 7th, we have, Feline Longmore, and she's running mono black, and her big addition to mono black was Urborg, and I can move on.
Yeah. Ooh, she is running the whip. She did opt to run the whip, and,
I am moving on.
She's also running a mainboard Erebos. That's interesting. I wonder what made her. And not the Lightbane Zombie, which is bad. We've been over that a million times. People, knock it off.
Well, if you come up against Black-White, then hey, you know.
Well, this top 8, to be fair, she was probably right with the Lightbane. I mean, the mid-range of the Jund Monsters.
Well, Mono Black Devotion, Sean Wheel in 8th place, he's running the Lightbanes as well. He has an Urborg. I'm moving on. I mean, Pithing Needle on the side. Woohoo! Jund Monsters in 9th. And again, nothing different. Come on, people. There was a good new set that just came out. Fucking throw some cards in.
We got a Naya midrange in 13th with, Aurelia the War Leader. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Aurelia.
Yeah, I don't really see her too often, but.
No, you don't. I mean, she's good.
I have a feeling if, she's just kind of like overkill. If you swing with her once, you're probably winning the game.
It might be a pet card.
You know? Yeah, this is a sweet Naya deck. I mean, Brimaz, I don't think we've seen that, and no Boros Reckoner. People have been going for the Boros Reckoner.
We have seen Brimaz. What the hell was his name? Raging Gumby? When he did good in Vegas, he had like that Naya mid-range tokens deck thing.
Yeah, which is in 15th place.
Right. But, okay. But yeah, he had Brimaz in there. So.
Okay. This is a very different deck in 15th place as far as the tokens go. He's running 3 Trastani main board, and 1 B2Gazi Guildmage, that, Ravnica limited all-star.
It was in fact that.
Yeah, he is running one of those.
Single Perforous main board. Yeah, okay, I've seen that before.
This
interesting.
Is weird. Very weird. Very weird. 3 Devouring
Ephemeral Light. Shields in the sideboard.
And I don't like a Devouring Light. That is strange. Why Devouring Light over, like, Banishing Light? I don't get it.
Too white. You can play it for free?
Sure, yeah.
You have all the tokens?
It's just weird to me. It seems like a weird call. I don't know, yeah. Interesting deck, though. Yeah,
Ephemeral Shield. That's a blind guess, dude. Like, you can play it for free. It's the only thing I can think of.
Again, Ephemeral Shields. I guess he's going for Convoke, because why not Ajani's Presence? Or, Jesus, that makes no sense to me. Ephemeral Shields. 4 Storm Breath.
Play it free? Again, yeah, that's the only thing I got, man.
And he's got 2 Mass Calcify in the board. What the fuck? What is this deck?
It is.
I don't understand.
Tokens? Yeah.
Ask Calcify and the sideboard. Get out of here. What the fuck? I don't get this. I'm not a fan.
You're not supposed to get it right.
Not a fan. I'll be a crit to that. Yeah. I mean, not a really varied, top 25 though. So we can get off of standard, please.
Okay. We'll move on to modern. Christopher Lewis wins 2-0 over Matt Pulse. Jordan Cook loses to Devon Heron 2-0. Shane Head loses to Logan Peterson 2-1. And Kent Ketter beats Jonathan Habel 2-0. Kent Ketter over Peterson 2-0. Devon Heron over Lewis 2-1. And Kent Ketter wins this wholesome gun. And modern cards. We have junk. We have rock. Whoa, I'm confused.
Yeah, they're also, they showed the top 8 of the Grand Prix as well. So Kent Ketter took this down.
Why did they put that there?
Just to give it, you know, people a place to ask.
SCG's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they are, but he's not running red rock or white rock. He is just running rock.
Black, green, rock.
Just rock. And yeah, the 2 Pack Rats main board caught my eye. I thought that was pretty fucking sweet. It is a modern playable card, no doubt about it.
Okay. Blue-red Delver from Devon Heron. Delver.
Yeah.
This is a little different.
It is young peasy popping up here. I mean, this is the young peasy Delver deck, so.
Yeah, it's a little bit more control than what I'm used to seeing in.
It is, though. I love the 2 Vapor Snags, 2 Spell Snares, 2 Spell Pierce, 3 Remand, 3 Mana Leak. I think that is a sick package right there.
Yeah, we got the 2 Pillar of Flame, 4 Bolt on Electrolyze, 4 Gataxian Probe for smoothing things out, 4 Serum Visions. I like C. You got the Izzet Staticaster in the sideboard for all those pesky flying tokens that are
around. Well, hey, Vanguard Souls is on the come up. Izzet Staticaster says no.
It does.
Things out of here. Swat them right out of the fucking air.
Jundin Third.
Someone actually posted a deck on the page the other day that featured, I want to say it was Sid, and it had Izzet Staticaster and a bunch of ways to give your dude's death touch.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgon's Head and shit like that, so.
Yeah, there used to be basically a deck that did that. There was a haste creature that you could ping with, and you would equip the Basilisk Caller to it, and you would just machine gun.
Nice.
Yeah.
This top 8 is very reminiscent of the GP we just went over.
Yeah, nope. We have Jundin Third, Affinity in 4th. I'm not going to go over every one of these decks. Merfolk in 5th. We got
Jundin Third, Affinity. Yeah, Affinity is in 4th.
Yeah, and then we have Merfolk in 5th. We'll be back to talk about that. We have Junk in 6th. We have Scapeshift in 7th. And in 8th, we have Gift Rites.
Yeah, that, a couple of decks, wouldn't mind going over here.
I definitely want to go over said Merfolk list.
Well, I do want to say fuck you to the Rug Twin player in 9th place. Thank you for not top 80.
Okay, so here are our merfolk list. We have 27 creatures. Why? Because it's a merfolk deck. Don't ask dumb questions. We have a Coral Helm Commander, 3 Curse Catcher, 4 Lord of Atlantis, 4 Master of the Pearl Trident, 2 Master of Wage, 4 Marrow Regeries, 3 Phantasmal Image, 4 Silvergill Adept, 1 Kira, Great Glass Spinner.
Sweet.
I likes. And Ithassa. Lands are 15 islands. Yes, 15 islands.
Kira is so good. And Thassa. Thassa and Master Ways, the two buddies holding hands in Modern.
They can still do that. Yeah. We have a Cavern of Souls, 4 Mutavault, and a Tectonic Edge. I like the Cavern of Souls in this deck because you just, it
why one? See, that's what I don't like, is really one cavern.
Well, I mean, when you need it. Oh,
just not, I mean, go all out on the cavern or don't. That's kind of how I feel about it.
In this deck, you probably could get away with running a lot more just because you know you're naming
Merfolk.
And it's not like it's legendary, so knock yourself out.
That aren't Merfolk are Phantasmal Image,
and Kira,
and Thassa.
Yep.
Why aren't you? I mean, 2 or 3. I guess. I don't know. He's just playing it super safe.
Yeah, so we have 4 Aether Vial, 4 Spreading Seas.
Love it.
Dismember, 3 Vapor Snag. If you've ever played with Spreading Seas, you'll understand.
God, that card is great.
It's so good. It's like, I'm going to give my stuff, like, yeah, me went stupid for a second. I'm going to give everything I own Island Walk.
Yep.
It's going to get in every turn.
Slap it on the dude sitting across from you, whatever land you choose, and go to town. So.
Mm-hmm. So, sideboard, we have a Grafdigger's Cage, 2 Torpor Orbis, Spellskite, Tidebinder Mage, 1 Threads of Disloyalty, 1 Dismember, 2 Echoing Truths, 2 Hercules Recall, 1 Remand, 1 Shadow Adult, 2 Sabotage. Hercules Recall can be backbreaking.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of the I mean, is it just me, or do I think a Tidebinder Mage is just entirely not necessary? Call me crazy. I mean, God, I would like even a second Shadow Adult over that, like... Even another Dismember is so good in Modern.
I tend to agree with you on this one. I mean, I can think of spots where it would be good. Like, tap your Goyf.
I don't know. I don't like it. I suppose it helps Master of Waves.
I suppose.
And Thassa, of course, but Thassa doesn't really need help to turn on, it looks like, so.
No. So what deck did you want to go over real fast? I'm guessing it's...
Well, take a guess. I'm a fan of this Gift Rites list here.
Yeah, that's what I thought you was going to say.
Scapeshift, I don't like. Bring back Deathrite Shaman, it'll disappear. Let's see, Gift Rites. We got 1 Grave Titan, 2 Snapcaster Mage, 1 Elish Norn, because she is fucking sweet. 3 Lily, who, by the way, could you believe that apparently the story is that Liliana of the Veil was going to be an M15.
Yeah, I had heard that as well, but they decided, like, last second that it was entirely too powerful.
Somebody decided to actually do a test with it, and yeah. Let's see. So Gift Rites here. He does have some cool lands, including a Colonnade, 3 Creeping Tar Pit, and what else did I think was really sweet in his land?
I think with this crazy ass land base, you should just go over the whole thing.
Okay, so 1 forest, 1 island, 1 plains, 1 swamp, 1 breeding pool, 1 Colonnade, 3 Tar Pit. Oh, I fucking love that card. I wish they would bring back the man lands. I wish they would reprint these lands. Mm-hmm. Creeping Tar Pit, Colonnade. Let's see, 1 Ghost Quarter, 1 Godless Shrine, 1 Hallowed Fountain, 3 Marsh Flats, 3 Misties, 1 Overgrown Tomb, 1 Tech Edge, 1 Temple Garden, 1 Twilight Mire, 2 Verdants, 1 Watery Grave, and 1 Urborg.
What the hell is up with this land base?
It's all over the place.
It is all over the fucking place.
Somebody enlighten us. I mean, I'm a big fan. I guess he wants to be able to...
cast everything.
Yeah, and reliably activate Colonnade and...
and cast everything.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's all over. 1 Batterskull, 3 Abrupt Decay, 4 Gifts Ungiven. Okay. 2 Mana Leak, 2 Paths, 1 Shadow of Doubt, 1 Slaughter Pact, 1 Damnation... I fucking love that card. I wish they would give Black another Wrath like that. Is it so much to ask for?
Yes.
I mean, I know it doesn't need it now. It would just be too much now, but come
Black
on.
Black has spot removal.
Come on.
It doesn't get cards like this.
We need a Wrath. 3 Inquisitions, 1 Life from the Loam, 3 Lingering Souls, 1 Raven's Crime, 2 Zombies, and 2 Unburial Rites. I fucking love this list. His sideboard is one damping matrix. Okay. Damping matrix. That's kind of new. We've not really talked about that or seen that. It's a 3-mana artifact that says activated abilities of artifacts and creatures can't be played unless they're mana abilities.
Mm-hmm. That'll stop a pod.
I like that card.
That'll stop an equip. That'll stop a lot of things.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Terastodon. Okay. That is, that's a big ass fucking elephant.
That's a quick way to get, 3/3s.
Yeah.
You just destroy all of your crazy fucking lands and get you your 3/3s.
There you go. One rule of law. Let's see. One abrupt decay. One extirpate.
Extirpate, yes.
Extirpate. One surgical extraction. One Iona, cause, she's a bad bitch. 3 duress. One hallowed burial. And 2 timely reinforcements. There's that timely reinforcements again. 2 of them here. So.
Yeah,
that's the gift rights list. I don't know. I like it. So.
Interesting. Can we move out of modern now?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
No pod though. So don't freak out, people.
Ban it. Ban it. Yeah. Okay, so.
Top 8 was very interesting.
Legacy.
My favorite deck took it down.
Oh, okay. So we had, Carabelle versus Estrada. Estrada wins 2-0. Colin Logan versus Tom McLeod.
Sure.
Logan wins 2-1. Chris Allen over Nathan Keithley. 2-1, Matt Hoey over Brian Cooper, 2-0. Matt Hoey over Chris Allen, 2-0. Colin Logan over Estrada, 2-0. Colin Logan beats Hoey, 2-1.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of Hoey, just not the deck he plays.
Okay, so first place, Death and Taxes.
Yep.
Second place, Rug Delver.
Yeah.
Omnitel in
third place and
crazy combo deck.
Yeah.
Buck Delver 4th, Esper Deathblade 5th, Lands in 6th. Lands has disappeared in recent weeks.
Yes, it has. I mean, I remember we talked about it for like several weeks in a row, it seemed, and then
it just kind of fell off and now it's back. Interesting. Cool. Burn in 7th and Jund in 8th. Do we really need to talk about any of these decks? I'm being completely honest. Like, yeah.
I mean, we've all covered them. We've covered all these pretty recently. I mean, Delver's obviously annoying, but it, two in the top 8. So it wasn't overwhelming this week, but.
I mean, even if you go down to 16th, I mean, there's really nothing worth talking about.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I did receive an email that centers around Legacy. And I am going to answer Mr. Clinton Lambert's question here. Am I the only one that's tired of seeing Delver dominate Legacy?
No,
you're not. It's beginning to get oppressive. He goes on to say, even though I think it's unlikely because the card isn't totally oppressive, but is it omnipresent throughout the format? But it is omnipresent throughout the format. And in my opinion, warps the format. Do you guys think Delver would be a reasonable ban? What decks do you think would emerge if the ban hammer hit that insect? Would unfair decks go unchecked, or would a deck like Merfolk step up to take on the role of aggro tempo?
I don't even want to open this can of worms about banning Delver because people will fucking flip shit. You're talking about like the most expensive decks in modern. They're the Delver decks. I mean, people would just fucking, I think.
Well,
he's specifically
saying for Legacy, which is a different format than modern. Has a completely different ban list.
I meant Legacy. Did I say modern?
Yes, you did.
My bad. I'm stoned.
Here's the thing with Delver. You said it yourself. It is not a totally oppressive card.
It's the shell that enables it. I disagree. I think a 3-power flyer on turn 2 is oppressive.
It's not. Realistically, it's only 2 toughness. It dies very easily to a lot of things.
That's the dies to Doomblade argument.
But the thing is, if you're going to ban a card, you have to have a reason that it's just like this thing dies to nothing. It completely is warping the format. Like, this card can be taken care of. You have to build to take care of it. It's not like, so many other things where it was just like, I'm trying to think of a good recent banning in Legacy that makes sense. Oh, okay.
I mean, people would just flip shit, I think, if you banned Delver. Like, there's just no way. Even though Marrow has said it's like one of his biggest regrets is giving Blue a 1-mana 3-powered flyer.
I'm not gonna say it was right.
Yeah, he has been very explicit in saying that it's like maybe of all the mistake. And if you think about it, Magic has printed some busted fucking cards. For Marrow to say the biggest mistake in Magic is not Jace the Mind Sculptor, it's not Lily, it's not. I mean, Black Lotus even, or any of the Power Nine, he specifically said Delver.
Yeah, the big problem with Delver is the fact that, like you said, you play him turn one. And he has to be dealt with fairly quickly because once he's on the board, well, at that point, you can begin to use counters to protect him.
Yep.
And yeah, it might be bad in blue, but I still don't believe that this is an absolutely just oppressive card. If it was oppressive, I would say ban it. But it's the things that they put around it to make the deck so good that calls for the banning. It's the same as saying, like, back in the day, people were like, oh, they need to ban Squadron Hawk. Well, there was nothing wrong with Squadron Hawk. It was the Jace, Gideon, and frickin', And damn it, I have drawn a blank. The tutor that gets the, swords.
Oh, Stoneforge.
Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the problem with
it. Yeah, and I think that is, to me, in the Delver, the decks with, I mean, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that Delver is like, I mean, he's obviously a must answer threat, but so is like every threat in Legacy.
Right.
And like this Rug Delver, for example, I mean, all the creatures in there are like huge problems. Delver is just like real annoying because it just starts pecking at you really early and it just puts this clock on it. And then by the time, like, you know, they got to deal with Goyf and Mongoose on top of it, like.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Delver is, it's like, look, for Delver to be bad, you need to ban blue. I mean, realistically, the only reason Delver is running these decks is because, A, they're running blue, and, well, he's the most efficient blue creature.
Yeah, you get Ponder and Brainstorm, and that's what really makes Delver, I mean, flip.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's really not the Delver that's so oppressive. It's the fact that in Legacy, blue is still good. And yeah, I mean, you're going to run probably the most cheap efficient creature you can find when you're playing blue. So every one of these decks that have blue in it just throws Delver in it. So everything becomes Delver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I can understand people not liking it, but it's just the way it is. I mean, that's like saying, you know, ban Goyf because every green deck runs Goyf. You know what I mean? It's literally like the exact same argument.
Yeah. But at the same time, does WotC have a responsibility to ban what they think is the biggest mistake ever printed?
I don't think it's the biggest mistake ever printed.
Well, we don't necessarily think.
Morrow's just crazy.
Morrow, yeah.
I mean, he's absolutely insane. I mean, this is the guy who says Mana Leak is too oppressive for Standard.
Yeah, that's absurd.
I mean, I can't agree with everything he says just because he helps make the game. It doesn't make him right. Flat out, plain and simple. I mean,
yeah.
There's just so many cards that have been banned in the past that you just look at and go, yeah, that needed to be banned.
That's true.
You know, and you know it. You know what I mean? Like when they banned Bloodbraid in Modern, like everyone went, yeah, that card probably was too good. You know, if the Jund players were unhappy that it was gone, but it didn't shock any of them. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, it probably should have went. So, Delver, I just don't see it doing that because it's just going to get replaced by something else that's efficient. They'll just move into another color's critters to do it.
Yeah, you'll just see more true names.
Yeah.
That's actually probably what would happen. You would just see true name become like a four of, maybe.
Well, and you'd see more like Nimble Mongoose and Tarmogoyf index. Yeah. You'll see more Bob's index, but they'll still be playing blue. Yep. It'll just be they'll be utilizing those cards instead.
Yeah, I mean, Ponder and Brainstorm aren't going anywhere, so.
And neither is Force of Will. So these things are going to be around, unfortunately. Thank you again for the letter, though. I appreciate it. Good question. I can understand you hating seeing Delver every week, but it's blue and it's good.
I'm with you, though, Clinton. Fuck that card.
Yeah, well, and Ryan's not the smartest Legacy player, so, you know.
I don't know shit about Legacy.
Speaking of all these wonderful tournaments that we talk about, there has been updates to the Premier Play for 2014-2015. Dun, dun, dun. These suck.
Wait, did we skip something?
Nope.
Okay, I got my notes out of order. My bad.
Yeah, you gotta look it out way down at the bottom. It was one of those ones I added to put in.
Okay.
Got it? Okay. So, new path to the Pro Tour is the first thing we're going to talk about. Now, you have to win a preliminary PTQ to go to the actual PTQ.
What?
Yeah, you heard me right. There is going to be preliminary PTQs, and if you win that, you get to go to your regional PTQ.
That's fucking stupid.
So you win your local one, then you pay for a hotel room elsewhere.
That's so stupid.
To play, and then if you make the top four of that, then you get a flight and an invitation.
So stupid.
They say the regional PTQs are going to be roughly about 100 players per.
Yeah, good luck.
But, you know, I heard somebody say that they're basically mini Pro Tours.
People aren't going to drive for the PTQ, which people already go hours out of their way to get to, and then they got to do it again.
Well, they are making it easier for stores to get get preliminary PTQs. You now only have to be an advanced store with a level 2 judge, and you are eligible to run a preliminary PTQ per season.
Yeah.
So, you might actually be able to find a preliminary one a lot closer. I just don't like the whole, you know, having to win 2 to get there. And their excuse for this is the fact that, and this is true, PTQ attendances, sometimes you have 400 players at them. And that is very impressive.
And sometimes you got 100 at other ones.
You do. And that's totally true. But
it's region by region. There was an interesting argument made. I can't remember what podcast I heard it on the other day, that it's like Wizards is really trying to change like way too much, way too fast, like way too sudden. Like from the website to, they're just changing all kinds of things. Like not a big fan, man.
They're trying to keep up with the growth of the game, but that doesn't mean though every choice they make is correct. And the way the regional PTQs are going to break down is the United States and Canada will receive 16 of them. Europe gets 8, 3 between Mexico, Central America, and South America. That seems fucked to me. I don't know. 3 in all of Asia Pacific and only 1 in Japan.
What is this, the PTs?
This is the PTQs, the regional ones, the actual PTQ that gets you to the Pro Tour.
It's a galaxy cake. It's, man, this is a rich get richer kind of thing. That's all it is, man.
It really is. I'm not happy with the way they broke it down. Like, yeah, I live in the U.S., so having 16 of them here, it gives me more chances than other people. But I'm sorry, South America, Central America, and Mexico having to split 3 and 1 for all of fucking Japan?
Yeah, bullshit.
Japan produces a lot of quality players year after year after year. They deserve more than 1. And poor Canada, they're going to get fucked because, you know, the U.S. is going to take at least 12 to 14.
What about France? How many does France get?
All of Europe gets, what, 8?
Yeah, France has been huge on the scene too lately. Like, yeah, I'm not like...
That's lately, but I mean, Japan has been that way forever. There's 8 in all of Europe.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, if you look at it though, 8 times 4, and if there's more than 128 players, the whole top 8 will receive that.
That's a fuck you to Scandinavia, and we can't stand for that.
We cannot. We absolutely cannot.
Where's the fucking Norwegian? You know, where's the Scandinavian region, PTQ? Like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. But they are improving.
PTQ.
Yeah, I'm going to move off of the PTQs because I could bitch about that forever. But the next part of the article goes on to state that they are going to improve the Grand Prix.
Oh, my goodness.
First thing is they have added 8 more Grand Prix for next calendar year. There will be 54 of them instead of 46. The breakdown is as such: 24 in the U.S. and Canada, 14 in Europe, 5 in Mexico, Central America, and South Africa. Or South America, I'm sorry. 7 in Asia Pacific and 4 in Japan. Okay. There's going to be more cash at these events. The payout will now be 70 grand if there's 3,600 players or more.
Can I say, this is a big deal. This is what they need to do to attract the pros. Fuck the buys and all this shit. Throw money at it. My biggest complaint though with this is the fact that, come on now, 101 through 230th place get cash. Like, if you want to attract attention to the game and make it a huge spectacle and really get people grinding for it, you gotta eliminate this payout to such fucking ridiculous numbers. Like,
well, paying out to 230, when you really break that down, if there's 3,000 people there and you're only paying to 230, you're only paying to like the top 3%.
It's ridiculous. So that many people shouldn't expect to, I don't think that many people should expect to cash at a GP.
You shouldn't. They should absolutely not go to a GP expecting to make money.
This first place prize should be like first place GP should be well over 4 grand. That's a joke to me. And part of that is because they're giving fucking players 101 through 230, $200 fucking dollars. Like, I don't know,
man. Honestly, like 101 to 230 is like a loss out of the top 8. That's the honest to God truth.
That's $25,800 paid out to those people that should be spent on the top 16. That's ridiculous to me that someone making 230th place gets $200 and someone in 16th gets fucking.
Here's the thing. If you go 12-3 and you finish 151st, you don't believe you deserve something?
Prize.
Or if you go 11-4.
Give out packs like crazy. That doesn't cost Watsy a fucking thing.
I can agree with the packs. I can agree with the packs, but at the same time, you do have to, you know, calm. It's still only like the top 3 or 4% of a big GP. That's all I get down to is percentage wise. Like they're not paying out to many people at all. I mean, should first place be paid more? Yes.
Make it a bigger spectacle. Make the top 16 grander. I mean, reward these guys financially and make this a game that these people that are on the train can actually live off of. Like, it's been the pros' biggest complaint. Like, they don't care about, they really don't. They don't care about these appearance fees. They don't care about, you know, sure, airfare is nice and shit, but they want you bigger fucking prizes. Look at,
yeah,
I don't know. There's video games giving away millions of dollars.
Okay, Ryan, can we just, you know, between me and you, say we run Wizards. Can we make this compromise? And I can totally agree with you saying the top 16 should be more of a spectacle. When you make 16th place and you get $550 and then somebody making 230th gets 200.
Yeah.
I mean, there really isn't much of a difference there.
No.
but let's say we pay from 101 to 230. Their entry fee plus back. You know, yeah, what's entry fee? $40 right now? $50?
50 for a GP.
Okay, you get $50.
Yeah, get your
and then you get packs.
Maybe even a sweet, like, maybe just a special play mat for the top 250 that you could turn, they could turn around and sell on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, I could see legitimately if you give them packs plus $50, which is their entry fee back, then you can take that 129 players times $150 and then you can disperse that money through 1 through 16
and let's
really make that jump.
Those guys in that range of winning, they're people honestly like me or you that went to the GP more or less. Yeah, we want to win, but we went to have fun for the most part.
Yeah.
I certainly don't go to a GP expecting to win and like.
Yeah, or it's a decent day.
Yeah.
Somebody like, I think Craig Wesco just made money last week.
Yeah, getting my entry fee back and maybe a sweet playmat in a box, that's fucking more than, that's a sweet deal.
Yeah, for your normal everyday player, like that would make me happy. Yeah, sure.
And that's all.
You know what? $200 ain't covering my hotel room for the weekend anyway.
But you're throwing away, I mean, we're throwing away thousands of dollars in potential prize money that gives these real grinders, these people, and we've seen it. It's been real evident this last season that these people are top eighting consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Huey Jensen, Reed Duke. I mean, there's people that have 5+ top eights this season. Owen. I mean, you just like, and the fact that they can't live off of magic with all these GP top eights to me is just, it's fucking criminal.
Well, the shortage of buys may cut down on how many of these guys continually top eight. But
I'd even be for eliminate the buys and make the prize pool much bigger. You'll still get these guys that they.
Yeah, I'm not for eliminating buys. I don't care how you look at that. I'm not for eliminating that. There should be a reward for people who play well and play a lot. I mean, is it a little too easy to get buys? Yes. But I think that certain players do deserve, you know, I mean, look, if you play in the NFL and you go 14-2, yeah, you get a week off.
I don't think a Platinum Pro needs buys. I think a Platinum Pro player would be much, much happier with more money. That's just pay me more in appearance fees. Pay me more to show up to these events. Like, I don't care about the buys. I'm going to win the first three.
Oh, no, they care about the buys.
Dude, they're going to crush the first
three. They get to sleep.
Anyways.
They get to sleep. That is a huge deal. When you're playing against somebody in round 9, of day one,
yeah,
that has had zero sleep, and you didn't walk into round 4. You have an automatic advantage there,
which some could argue is unfair.
It's unfair, I guess. But like I said, you know, if you're in the NFL and you go 14-2, don't you deserve a week off? I mean, every league, every game does this.
We're comparing Magic to,
but it's a game, and they're basing their thing off of other games. You know, and other games give buys. So
just not a fan of the buy. We'll move on. I'm sorry, man. I just had to rant about the prize pool, though.
Yeah, like, the prizes are a little off. I will give you that. I can see that final group only getting their entry fee back in a PAX. I can agree to that. And then you give more money to the top 16. Pro points stuff. Earning pro points is apparently, you know, slightly easier. I don't know. Yeah. If you care about pro points, why are you listening to this show? Okay. All right.
They do. I also, real quick, before we move off the Grand Prix, they need to go back to what they used to do. I was real pissed off this weekend with the coverage that you could go 12-2. You could go like 9-0 day one or whatever and have like your two losses day two and it won't matter. You know how it used to take into account like when your losses occurred and yeah. The later the better, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't like this system of, basically clearing things and, you know, if you get your losses late, it no longer matters. Like,
well, it still matters. I mean, your tiebreakers matter. They don't clear them, do they? When did they start doing that?
Like day two is now like you start, like the breakers are different. I don't know. They were talking about it this week at, the GP Wooster. How there were guys like 12-2, not top eighting, Nathan Holliday, I think being one of them. The guy from Channel Fireball, I think that's his name, but he went like, you know, just had his losses on day two or whatever and wasn't able to make the top eight because of the way they now do tiebreakers.
Okay. You kind of sidetracked me with your rant. I do want to finish out the GP stuff. and I got sidetracked. I'm sorry. Starting with Grand Prix Portland 2014. So that's like what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
All GPs will be 15 rounds regardless of attendance.
Wow.
And team GPs regardless of attendance will be 14 Swiss style rounds.
A lot of magic.
With the new system, I mean, I've been in GPs that have actually been more than 15. But under the new system, players with the following records will move on to day two of a Grand Prix. Individual Grand Prix. All players with 21 or more points. So that's 7-2, day one. You're going to play nine rounds day one every time. All players tied for 64th or whichever is greater. So 21 points or 64th or greater. So if you get into a small GP, I guess you can. Team Grand Prix. All teams with 21 points or 40th place, whichever is greater. That is how you're going to move on to day two from now on. Fair? Okay. All right. That actually, I do like them capping.
Capping the rounds?
Yeah. Actually do like that because, you know, I've showed up to some where they're like, we're going to play nine rounds plus one today and then six tomorrow if you make day two. I'm like, 10 fucking rounds today. And they have the double cut, you know what I mean? It's like they would cut after round nine and after round 10 for day two. And it's just like, yeah, this is not the way I want this to go. You know, there was new enhancements to the pro players club, Grand Prix. You can get your points through, top eight. You'll receive at least 4 points. For all other players, it depends on match points completely. If you have 33 to 35 match points, you'll get one. If you get 36 to 38, you'll get two, and 39 plus, you'll get three. So, you know, if for some reason by breakers, you get screwed out of the top eight, you can still get a decent amount of pro points. Team Grand Prix, first place will get six, second place gets five, third and fourth will get four, 34 points plus will get four. So, you know, if you get screwed out of that top four, say you finish fifth, you're going to get just as many pro points as the top three or four. Not as much money though. 33 will get you three and 30 through 32 will get you one. Anything lower than that gets you nothing. Pro tours, you get a bunch of points. Again, if you're on the pro tour, you probably shouldn't be listening to this. I'm glad if you are. Let me know. I'll have you on. So, Jesus Christ, so much crap came out this weekend. We have new commander decks coming. And the thing that is flipping everybody's wig is there is now Teferi, Temporal Archmage, Planeswalker Teferi. And it says at the bottom, Teferi, Temporal Archmage, can be your commander. So Planeswalkers as commanders. There's not going to be a rule change, according to Mark Rosewater. These cards have written on them specifically to break the rules. Teferi's abilities, plus one, look at the top two cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the other on the bottom of your library. That's absurd. His minus one is untap up to four target permanents. That's not fair. And minus 10, you get an emblem with you may activate loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control on any player's turn anytime you could cast an instant. That may be the most broken emblem they have ever had. Just, yeah, use planeswalkers when you want. No one cares. Just use them whenever. I gotta see how that actually rules out. Frank, Tavern, I need you to get a hold of me. I need to know how it works. It says you can cast any player's turn. Is that still only one time per cycle of turns? or can like I plus one this after I get this in an 8-man tournament or an 8-man, EDH game 8 times before it comes back to me. Cause that just does not seem fair.
No, it says anytime you could cast an instant. So you could plus a planeswalker, plus it again, plus it again, plus it again. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is there a limit to this? I need to know because like, I know on a normal turn, you can only use it one time.
Yeah. I don't know.
And only on your turn.
Cast an instant.
Yeah. I need a specific ruling on this card from somebody who knows more than I do about,
So basically the only time you couldn't do it is if they just cast a planeswalker and are retaining priority to do whatever activation or whatever they're going to. And then you can cast your instant.
Yeah. Sick. There's also Ghoulcaller Gissa. Legendary creature, human wizard. 3/2 black. Black and tap. Sacrifice another creature. Put X/2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield, where X is the sacrifice creature's power.
Seems good.
Seems really good. Are you good, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Something in my lungs, buddy.
Oh, son of a bitch, I did miss a topic. GP Taipei.
I was trying to tell you.
Why didn't you just say, yo, dude, we missed GP Taipei? Instead of saying, did we miss something? You could have just said GP Taipei, dude.
We did miss GP Taipei.
Okay, GP Taipei.
To be fair, it's boring.
It is. What was the format? I don't even know.
It's limited.
Oh.
So,
why is this boring?
They busted out the M15, so...
Yeah. The winner of this was, Haoxin Huang 2-0. And, I do want to go to the top 5 cards. Normally I'd spend more time on limited, but this is going to be a long cast, so I'm going to actually ignore it this time. Number 5, Hornet Queen. I can't believe that's only number 5. Number 4, Flesh to Dust. Number 3, Soul of Theros. That card's good. 2 yeah. Lightning Strike and 1 Amphim Pathmage. And that's good.
Very good. Yep.
Making things unblockable is a lot better than you'd think in this format. Okay, our community team was announced. Congratulations to Mr. Scotty Mack.
Did he make it?
He made it.
Nice.
Our team is going to be Sean Plott. You know him as Day 9, especially if you play the StarCraft. Yeah, Tom Ross.
A shitty magic player though. Why is this? I don't get this.
Dude, it's just what they do.
It's the community cup, whatever.
Yeah, with Tom Ross, so that's good. We have Scotty Mack. We have Bjorn Anderson. We have, Dalibor Trenka. And we have, Mariah Pagliocco. That's the Team Panda Girl.
Shut up. Nice.
So,
her dad works.
Way to step up, Watsy. I'm glad you gave that to her.
Yeah, her dad works there, I believe. So that's cool.
We have Paul Chion and Frank Lepore.
Yay, I like Frank Lepore, man. I know a lot of people rag on the dude, don't like the guy, whatever, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be our team. Hopefully, you know, get us some wins, guys. I always like the free cards I get on MTGO because of you guys. Yeah. Get some wins. F&M cards coming up.
Yay!
Yeah, the new F&Ms from August through October are going to be as follows. August is a Bioblight that looks absolutely absurd.
Let's see this. I got to check this out here. Fucking A.
It's just like this that is melting weird. To nothing.
That's kind of cartoonish, but it's cool.
It's melting into nothing. It's so cool. We have a Banishing Light for September, which I believe we went over once. And Fnatic is in a ghost in October.
Yeah.
And he's dumping out all of his porridge and, you know, or liquor, however you want to put that.
He looks kind of like Disney-ish.
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
So I'm not a fan.
Yeah, there was a Comic-Con this weekend as well, and holy fuck did everything come out of this thing.
Oh, Comic-Con.
Okay, so from the Vault Annihilation, August 22nd, we are going to have Wrath of God, Rolling Earthquake, Living Death, Cataclysm are all in, all with new art. Living Death apparently has the same art from the Duels of the Planeswalkers release. The Speed and Cunning Duel decks from September 5th are Canis the Omnipotent and Zergo Helm Smasher.
Okay.
Helm Smasher is 2 red, white, blue, black, legendary orc warrior, 7/2 haste, attacks if able, indestructible on your turn, and gets a +1/+1 counter when a guy damaged by him dies.
That's nuts.
Commander decks, November 7th, we went over. See, the draft formats for Tarkir is going to be completely fucking weird. When it's, cons, you are going to draft 3 cons. Makes sense? Okay. When the second set comes out, it is going to be, this is so hard to follow the way they have this written. It is going to be 2 cons and 1 Dewey, which is the second set. When the third set comes out, it's going to be 2 Louis, 1 Dewey. And you will draft that because I guess the third set's going to be a large set. You are going to draft it Louie, Dewey, then back to Louie.
Yeah, that's in the future for me, bro.
Yeah, it is, but it's coming up quick, man. Also, wedges are confirmed for Cons of Tarkir.
Yes. I'm excited about the potential for what I'm understanding is like 40 different pre-release promos.
Yeah, there's going to be 40 promo cards, 8 per clan.
That's too much.
With 5 different clan choices. Well, the thing is, like, and I kind of like this, is you're going to pick your clan, and you're going to have a chance at 1 of 8 different promos. You're not always going to get the same one. And realistically, there might be, what, 10 rares in each color? So basically, it's like we're going to, in your pack, you're going to get a promo rare of something in your color. I can actually kind of sort of get behind this. This is somewhat closer to actual Sealed Magic. The wedges are as followed. Green, white, green, black, white, which, junk, you know, heck, I've called junk my whole life, is now Abzan.
It's junk. It's fucking Abzan. It's junk.
Dude, I'm telling you, in a couple years, everyone's going to be calling it Abzan. I saw this already happen once before when Shards of Alara came out. Everyone calls things Jund now. Jeski. What was it called before? Just, black, red, green, or there was always a crazy name around it. See, back in the day, we came up with our own names because they didn't have these generic ones.
I got it, yeah.
And those, when we came up with our own names, it was actually somewhat, better.
Us kids with our loud music.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, everything's so generic at this point. I mean, it does convey.
Labeling of deck archetypes.
Yeah, it does convey things very quickly for players when they're kind of looking for, I need decks with these colors, but I miss the old way.
Yeah, this is sweet though. Abzan looks really sweet in the, imagery.
Mm-hmm. It really does. We have Jeski, and that is going to be your blue, yeah, white
wing. Jeski just looks way too
Jeskai, I'm sorry.
Jeskai, way too fucking nerdy.
Yeah.
They look like a bunch of goofy cartoons from like Space Jam or something, like, yeah.
Right. Bug is now being called Sultai.
I like that. I like Sultai.
Okay, I like calling things Bug.
Well, Bug, what was the shard name for Bug? I know it wasn't Bug.
Bug. There's never been, see, the thing is,
no shards, for it or anything.
No, Sultai is what it is. There's never been wedges before.
Okay.
That have been put into these boxes. Shards are connected, wedges aren't.
What do you mean by connected?
Like a shard. If you look at the color wheel.
Okay, so they're
all
out.
All three are connected. Where wedges, so, there's one that's always off on its own.
So a shard is allied colors?
No, not necessarily. Again, you have to look at the color wheel. The color, like if you flip over the back of a card, there's that color wheel there where it's like white, blue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, every shard, the three lines are connected. Okay, like Esper starts with white, goes to blue, ends on black. Well, yeah, yeah. With wedges, they're not. It's like a triangle everywhere. Like, huh. Two of them are going to be connected and one's going to be clean across the, across the color wheel. Cool.
So fucking Bug is now Sultai. I like that. They got some badass imagery too. Look like some snake people or something.
Yeah, I still want to just call it Bug. Mardu, which is, white, red, black. Yeah, that's Mardu.
Dagu? Yeah. Is that what it's been called before? Dagu?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Rug is now Teemer.
Yeah, not gonna ever call it that. That's the name of a monkey, I think.
You probably will. There was a couple questions asked during one of the things, and one of the questions is, will we see another three-color planeswalker? And the answer was probably, but not necessarily super soon. So probably not in Cons. Apparently about Conspiracy, Morrow says it's a great success, and more future products like that are to hit stores in the future.
Oh boy, more money traps.
More money traps.
With only legacy playable cards.
Yay.
Excited. Cool.
Holy hell, we got through all that.
Making like a quality game and quality sets, like, I don't know. Is it me or I'm just not very excited about Cons?
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
To me,
more than being excited about it, I'm excited about Ravnica leaving.
Seems like Kamigawa to me, and I didn't even play during Kamigawa, and this set to me just screams like, hey, we're doing Kamigawa again.
Dude, there's a bear getting punched in the face.
Yeah, that's like,
that got me pretty excited about this set. Like, I'm going to own a card where a bear is literally getting knocked out like a camel.
Okay. In her, that may be the sweetest art in Magic history. I'll give you that.
Dude, it's fucking awesome. If these are commons, I'm going to collect them and then I'm going to send large stacks of them to John Celso.
So I don't know if you mentioned this. Did you mention that Morph is the returning mechanic?
Actually, I did miss that. Morph is our returning mechanic.
That seems very unexciting.
It's going to work interesting with Foulblight. For anybody who doesn't know, when a card is morphed, it does not have a name. So a Foulblight will only kill the one that you're targeting. It will, if somebody has four morph creatures on the board, it shouldn't kill all four unless they do an errata to the rules.
See, I never played during the time of this, so... And it's just, to me, is when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this mechanic, why would they bring this back? I don't recall one person predicting Morph is the
neither
one.
Neither do I. Yeah. But it actually is fun to play with Morph cards. Dude, when you're sitting there and you're looking at that Morph card going, what could that be? What could that be? I mean, it just drives you bananas. And if you guess right, you feel like the king of the world. If you guess wrong, it can be such a blowout. It adds a new element to the game, but the only reason I'm really excited about it is I'm kind of tired of the Ravnica cards that are in the format.
I am too.
I'm ready to see Sphinx's Revelation walk away from the format.
I'm ready to see Packrat go away to a hole and fucking set itself on fire.
Yeah, there's just a lot of cards that I'm ready to see leave. It's not that I didn't like them while they were here. It's just, it's been a while. It's time for them to go and...
Tired of Detention Sphere. The ubiquitousness of all the cards we've seen, like, that are just, they're just, everyone's been playing the same things for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that says a lot about the strength of Ravnica. I thought Ravnica was a fucking awesome set, and it's, I mean, still extremely pervasive in the standard format, so... I don't know. I think it was a great set, so. But I am excited to see the cards go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not necessarily excited. I'm just ready for it.
Yep.
And it's going to leave me that window now where I feel comfortable jumping back into standard.
Getting into standard.
So, yeah, that, I mean, that helps.
With the card pool is pretty small. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have most of Theros, and, you know, I have plenty of time to collect M15, and Lord knows, I have been playing a fuck ton of M15. I love M15 sealed. Like, this is no joke. I legitimately love it. Like, this is so much fun to me. Over the weekend, I did 3 pre-releases on MTGO, and after the pre-releases ended, yesterday I did another just sealed event. Dude, I'm enjoying this a lot. So I expect to collect a lot of M15.
I like M15. I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So I do think by the time Cons comes out, I should have my M15 cards. It's not like last year where M14 came out and I just hated it. It never felt good to me. So I just kept playing Ravnica. Yeah, I was just like, I'll go draft this other stuff because it's funner. And I know I was not the only one who did that. I know a lot of people who say that M14 was great, and knock yourself out if you enjoy that, but I thought that it was just horrible magic.
No, I've had, you know, granted it's been more recent, much more fun with M15 than I remember my limited experience with M14. So
yeah, I know that
I don't think anyone would tell you that M15 is a worse set than M14.
Well, I know the limited resource guys, they thought M14 was like the best draft format in years. I guess it is completely subjective which formats you like, but to me M14 was not the type of magic I wanted to play.
No, M15 seems way more well-rounded, just on the whole, just color to color, just seems a lot more rounded outside of blue, which just seems like doesn't know what it wants to do. Everything is I don't know, it's hard to explain in terms of comparing it to M14, which seemed like not as cohesive, I guess.
Right, right. I'm enjoying it.
A lot of good removal in this set, too. I mean, they did a good job.
Yeah, it's not overpowered removal. Yeah, it's subtle removal, but it's good.
Yeah, and there's nothing that seems like, at least we haven't seen it yet. Maybe the limited format hasn't been figured out, but there's not that like card that's just running away with things. There's no pack rat.
Hornet Queen. But it costs so much.
Yeah. I mean, she is 7 mana, so And Fester Gloom is really good against her, and that's like a common answer. And
Color Flame as well is a very good answer to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways to deal with it, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some of the mythics, like Soul Theros. Like, that card's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's a really good card.
That card is pretty impressive, to be real honest, but, I mean, it is what it is. It's a mythic. If you're lucky enough to open it, play with it. Knock yourself out, you know?
That's the lifelink one, right? The white one.
Lifelink and first strike.
Yeah, that's the one that's like, I've just seen people with, like, fucking 90 life and that thing on the board. It's like, well, this is going nowhere.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. I mean, I've actually killed one and won a game off of it, but it's pretty hard to win with that thing's on the battlefield. Like, it's just not easy. So, yeah. I got to play with it the other day, and I wrecked face with it. Like, it's almost like you play it, and you should win.
So you've been hitting up plenty of M15.
More than most, to be honest. I still only have, like, three losses in all sealed of M15, and I've done five events.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I've enjoyed it, but, you know, again, I have all these great results, so maybe I'm skewed a little bit, but I'm going to keep doing them because I'm enjoying the hell out of them. I also fucked myself up pretty good today, Ryan.
No bueno.
Yeah, I cut myself pretty damn good. My arm hurts like hell.
Yeah, you sure you didn't nick a tendon or something?
No, it's in my bicep. It's on the side where no tendons are. I just took a big chunk of flesh out. It looks pretty nasty. I might have to send you a picture.
How does that happen?
I was actually weed blocking, which all that is it's putting down fabric before you put down, like, stone or mulch.
Yeah, it's that, like, green stuff, right?
Well, it's gray, but it can be green. It can be trash bags. It can be so many things. What we use is, like, this green felt that lets a certain percentage of water through. It's like it lets 70% of the water through, but it keeps weeds down. It's so you don't basically kill your soil. Because if the soil doesn't get water, it'll never become – the nutrients can be sapped from it. So you do need water to actually continue on. That's why you see people with the old beds who have, like, just trash bags down. Like, oh, they can't get stuff to grow. Well, it's because the damn ground never gets water. So no nutrients are put back in, but.
Well, yeah, also, I mean, soil get, like, especially if you're in an area with, like, salty soil, you gotta flush, that stuff needs flushed out, like.
It absolutely does, yeah. It could get high in nitrogen and just where it's just, like, slaughtering stuff instead of it being balanced. It can do a lot of weird things. But anyway, I had the pins that hold them down in my, heck, in my pocket.
Okay.
And when I say in my pocket, and this is how I always do it, I let them hang out, like, one half of the pin is hanging out in my pocket, the other half is in, so I can quickly grab them and throw them down. And I was down on one knee putting them in.
I just picture you, like, throwing them single-handed. Like,
I actually do. But I'm sitting there, and I'm throwing them in. I'm on one knee, and somebody yelled for me from across the work site.
Asshole.
So I turned and got up to go see what he wants. And when I got up, my arm caught on those pins that was in my pocket. And it just ripped a huge chunk out of my arm, right on my bicep. So, that hurts like hell, dude.
Yeah, you should wrap that and maybe seek medical attention, bro.
Well, luckily, the guy I was working today, he's a doctor. And I went to my first aid kit, and I got out, you know, a gauze pad, and I'm, like, tying it down. And I couldn't find – we were out of tape, you know, medical tape. And I'm like, okay. So I go up to the dude. I'm like, he's a doctor, you know, and what the hell? I'm like, hey, do you have any medical tape in there? And he goes, what happened? And I pulled the gauze pad away, and he saw the big gash. And he goes, yeah, hold on. And he goes back into his house, and he grabs the medical tape, and he comes out, and, you know, he does me up as well as he could. Without actually taking me to the hospital, he goes, yeah. I'll be realistic, that's pretty bad, you might want to go get stitches. And I was like, yeah, I don't need stitches.
No, like, shit.
And he was just like, okay.
Dude, I was at a slumber party once in, like, fourth grade, and the guy's dad, like, we were holding a log for him, he was cutting it,
yeah.
And the chainsaw, like, bounced up and came down on his thumb, like, took his thumb, like, clean off almost, it was just, like, dangling there. He just wrapped it up, put it on ice, was like, fucking doctor.
He probably should have went and got stitches. What I have here, even he said it, he goes, you probably should get them, but it's only going to be like two stitches and it's not absolutely medically needed. He said, just keep it clean.
Yeah, no shit. Ugh.
And I was like, that's cool. I can do that. You know, it was weird. Like, I pulled the gauze off and, like, all the coagulated blood that was on it earlier. And I'm sorry if I'm grossing people out. but it like, it came off with the gauze, so it started bleeding again.
Yeah, that's nasty.
So like 7 hours later, it's still bleeding. I'm like, this. So yeah, that hurt. Also, dude, I got another email when I need to bring this guy up. His name is
another one. Which one? Are
we yeah, on this here? Is Kim Ho, and this is a long one, a very long one. So I'm going to skip most of it and I'm just going to get to the pertinent part about the show. He says, before I move on to the topic of you guys talking about podcasts, this is in the middle of this email. This is a long email. But I enjoy these. I just ain't going to read this whole thing on the air.
Can I say one thing though, real quick?
Yes.
He does mention rules lawyering. I do want to say I thought of a good example Megan mentioned the other day. Somebody did to her was she untapped all her lands and like all her creatures. She forgot to like untap one creature and then drew and then like untapped it. Was like, oh, hey, I didn't untap this. Untapped it. And the person was like, no, you already skipped your untap step.
Okay. That's against the rules because the fact is that it must be untapped, so she has the right to untap it.
Yeah, this was at like an FNM too. That's that's like someone trying to be scummy, trying to bend rules.
Yeah, that's like, just being scummy. I don't necessarily look. We went over this last week. We have different definitions of what a rule is.
Yeah.
But he says before I move on to the topic of podcast, one more thing in the rules lawyering discussion because he wrote a big long diatribe about that. You should read it, Ryan. That has nothing to do with the topic. Ryan, I am sorry, man, but can I ask you to articulate your thoughts before attempting to say them? As Clues and Chewies mentioned on Monday Night Magic, Truncate Silent does wonders. In this case, in your attempts to describe the case about rules lawyering, including but not including the pork roadkill, you easily say the word like a dozen times, which I know with the ums were pretty bad. Like, this one's a new one to me. And no, if you don't actually say it, me as a listener does not know what you are trying to say. I'm certain you are not a tween and talking is such detract away from the attempt to set up an argument. Otherwise, I do like the way you try to keep Angelo on his toes with your counter arguments. He did like our podcast that we had on here. Long time listener, he says, and you know,
hey, hang on. I've been muted. I didn't know I was muted. Let me say something. People that say like a lot actually are more thoughtful in what they're saying.
That's, no, but I can understand where he's going with.
Studies, actually recent studies. I just actually read about a study like literally weeks ago. That was like people that say like a lot and pause a lot are actually more thoughtful in what they're saying, more precise in what they're trying to say. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. And I can understand where a listener comes from as well.
We also get flowers and a lot of liquor into a cast. At least I do.
I usually have a few beers.
Yeah. So I'm,
he's stoned. You have to keep that in mind.
That too.
He is stoned every podcast. So you do have to keep that in mind when you're listening. Like, I'm not trying to pick up a lot of that to him being stoned.
Something like, you know, I'm just trying to be me.
Yeah. No. I mean, look, thank you. I am well aware that myself, I used to go through this podcast every week and take out every And it is a daunting task. So I quit doing it. I only take, you know, I might spend an hour doing that tops. And I miss a lot of them still. So meh. I never thought to listen for the likes. I do know that as a listener, it is hard on you to hear the words repeated constantly. And you can tell we're thinking. But it comes off better to you as a listener if it doesn't sound like we're thinking, that more we are just speaking. I get that. Unfortunately, I don't know about you, Ryan. I have never taken a broadcasting course or anything like that on how to speak on radio and stuff. So I have things to work out. I'm sure Ryan never took that and he has stuff to work out still. We'll work on it. Right, Ryan?
Cool. Yeah.
That's all we can do. We can work on it. If, you know, guys, send us these emails. If there is things that you believe would improve the show, which, you know what? I think us not saying, and like, and, cause I know I'm guilty of it too. I say a lot. It would probably improve the show. And I'm not going to disagree with that. Thank you for the email there, Kim. Kim Ho from somewhere. He first heard about us though, through Monday Night Magic. So thank you, Chewy, for sending us another listener. Appreciate it, buddy. Aside from that, I haven't been up to really shit. I didn't get to, hang out with Will on Saturday night to play Booze Cube because I had to work late.
Ew.
I did get to go hang out with him on Friday though. So that was good enough for me. We hung out for a little bit and he's going back onto the trail. Sucks that I didn't get the Booze Cube, but, you know, sometimes real life says no. What have you been up to, bro?
Shit.
All right.
Life. My dog had surgery yesterday, so that. And Megan has been feeling under the weather, so that. And tweaking this Bant brew. So playing the Bant control Kiora thing. So, yeah.
Sweet, 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 sweet. Well, that it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That was tits. So fast. I'm going to give a shout out to, Mr. George Well. I am going to give a shout out to Mr. Kim Ho. And I am going to give a shout out to Clinton, Lambert. Thank you guys for your emails. Very much appreciate them. I tried to respond to all of them. I think I did. I forwarded them all to Ryan, so he has them as well, I think. I might have screwed that up. I don't know. excuse me. But I also have a shout out for Buttercup. I also have a shout out for Slick. Happy birthday, buddy. I hope you had a good time up in Boston.
Sweet.
Yeah. You have any shout outs there, Ryan?
Shout out to my dog. He's doing good. So that's what's up. Shout out to the posse. Of course, you guys have been busy. I fucking can't even keep up this week, dude. It's like just everywhere. Anti shout out to colds. My throat has been kind of hurting today. Megan's been sick and something's kind of going around. So yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's been around here. It's been weird. So yeah. Anyway, contact info. If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me at GonkSuo on Twitter. It's GANKSUO. You can also get a hold of me at the same thing on MTGO. I've been playing a lot of M15, so you should be able to find me on there, especially on the weekends. Also at pitimpodcast@gmail.com. You can send these emails that I obviously read on the air and respond to. You can also find me on the Posse page. Ryan, how would they get a hold of you, buddy?
At Brother Yan on Twitter, Brother Ryan, hit me up, and the Posse page on Facebook, of course.
So next week, Ryan, is the Pit End specialty.
Yeah, it's the Pro Tour.
Pro Tour Magic 2015, and you want to do a fantasy draft.
I'm down.
I will give you first pick, and then I'll take two, then you take two.
I was gonna be nice and give you first pick.
I'm the host, so I'll be gracious. I mean, I don't know. Do you want first pick or not?
I'll go Huey Jensen.
Ooh, that's a good goddamn pick. I'm taking Reed Duke with my pick.
That's a good one. So you got Reed Duke, I got Huey. This is official.
Yeah, write this down.
I'm getting this down.
So we can find out next week how bad we actually are at this.
Yeah, you got pick two.
Okay, so I have another pick. Pro Tour. You know what? For shits and giggles, and because it's a new format and they are playing standard, I'm going to take Conley. I think Conley can brew something.
Ooh, you're taking, okay, so that's kind of like your dark horse there. You got Conley Woods with the second pick.
Yeah.
Let's see, Craig Wesco, he was off last Pro Tour.
Damn it!
On the one before.
That was my next pick!
I'm not picking him. I'm trying to see, because he kind of goes like ebbs, and he's there one time, then he's not, and so could this be the Craig Wesco bounce back? I don't know, I'm going to play Owen Turtenwald.
Okay. That's a good pick. You got another pick.
Raptor.
Ooh. Ah, damn. I'm about to step my game up. All right. My next pick is going to be Shuhei Nakamura.
That's okay.
I got to step up my game after some of the picks you've picked. Like, I need Shuhei. And,
you're going Japanese. Who's your fourth pick?
My last pick and final pick is going to be, God damn it, this is hard to pick that last one because there's like six people I want, and Wesco is one of them, but I don't think I'm going to take him.
We could go to five picks.
I am going to go Guillaume Wafatapa.
Wafo. Okay.
My pick. So, yeah. What's your pick?
I don't know. I'm going to go 4-2 since you did. Let's go ahead. Man, but Chapin, I feel, is hot right now.
Jeremy Dazzani's still good. I mean, there's a lot of good picks out there.
Let's go Yuya.
Yuya Watanabe?
Watanabe.
Okay. So, to recap, I picked Reduke, Conley Woods, which is probably the worst pick I had. Shuhei Nakamura.
Just because you said that, Conley's going to win the fucking Pro Tour.
Probably. It's just, if something new comes out, it'll come from him. So I'm taking him as my dark horse. So, but again, Reed Duke, Conley Woods, Shuhei Nakamura, and what the hell was my last pick?
Waffo.
Oh, Guillaume Wafatapa.
Yeah.
Your four.
I had Huey Jensen at one. I feel it's his year.
Dude.
I got Huey, Owen, Raptor, and Yuya.
I'll be real honest. I think you're going to win.
I went real Channel Fireball on this one.
You really went. If Channel Fireball does well, like, you have it locked up.
So I'm thinking one of those guys has to be a lock for top eight. I wanted to pick Finkel, but I guess if I had a fifth pick, an honorary, it'd probably be Finkel or Kaibu, just because I think those guys are just – my favorite players of all time, so.
Yeah, if I had to do an honorable mention, it'd be Ben Stark.
Oh, M15 Limited.
Yeah. If I had to do well, that's why I took Shuhei. Because I think Shuhei is probably as close to Ben and Limited as you possibly can be.
That's for Yuya's.
And I think Yuya's a little bit better at standard than Ben is, so that's why I went with him.
Yeah, Ben Stark, that's a good pick too. Ben Stark, the Israeli kid. I can't think of his name. you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, the world champion, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why am I blanking on his name right now?
I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm just going to absolutely leave it out there. You're lost, aren't you?
He's another pick I'd go with. So yeah, he's a safe bet. Stark, Chapin, man. I think we had some good top four picks, though. I like your Conley Woods throw in there. So
yeah, I mean, I like Conley, so why not?
We'll see what happens. We'll get the results after the weekend. So
next week, though, we are going to go over the Pro Tour Magic 2015. As anybody who's ever listened to a Pit M's Pro Tour episode, all we do is talk about the Pro Tour. I don't know if SCG has anything going on, and legitimately, I don't care. The Pro Tour takes precedence over anything else. So that's what the next show is going to be. We get very in-depth. If you're new to the show, you're going to be shocked at how this show changes for these Pro Tour episodes. But until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, folks. And go fuck yourself.